This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You are a member of your household, but only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
I
thought it was weird.
I will never say anything in my lifetime that will make any of these young women at Rutgers regret or feel foolish that they accepted my apology and forgave me.
Wake up for America! Wake up today! Wake up for America!
Nobody picked up on this, huh?
Was the band there live? I know it was a live show in front of an audience.
It was the Mayberry RFD Network band.
White power!
It's the band that was playing in back of him?
Yeah.
How did they go over? I don't hear the crowd really applauding that loudly.
Oh, they went to commercial break, Mike.
Well, I did hear one rumor that he's perhaps had some work done. During his little hiatus that perhaps he'd had a little work done.
There's not enough chisels. There's just not.
For RFD television.
Oh. Well, let's start with something a little more down our alley.
I want the hippopotamus for Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Up our alley.
Hippopotamus is all I want.
Yeah, yeah. Hi, girly. These are the Bad Stooges, right?
These are the aging Stooges.
These are the Stooges without Curly.
This might be the Stooges with Curly Joe Derita.
Not even with Shemp.
You'd accept Shemp over Curly Joe Derita.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a Shemp hater, but if you give me the choice of Shemp or the guy that followed him,
sure.
I'm a Shempster.
I believe that Shemp predeceased Curly. He may have. When he was shadow boxing. And he put his chin on his chest and
you
died.
You love telling us how the Three Stooges died.
I enjoyed it. Didn't enjoy that they died. It's just there were wonderful stories about how they went out on top.
How did Mo die, Mike?
Mo died, I believe, of cancer. But see, Mo was the last one to die, so I didn't pay attention. Curly.
I'm just asking in order. How about Larry? How did Larry die?
Larry died from complications from a stroke at the Motion Picture Actors Country Home and Hospital.
What about Curly?
Curly had a stroke on the set of Hoi Polloi, and they put him off in a chair where he couldn't speak and finished the scene.
Wow.
Before getting him to the...
first thing
to the hospital. And then there was Joe Besser.
Hold on, what about in order? Shemp. Do you know what happened to Shemp?
Shemp had a stroke also.
And then there is Curly Joe Besser. Is that the guy we're
Curly
talking about?
Curly Joe Derita. Oh. He doesn't count. I don't know how he died.
So there's Joe Besser.
Joe Besser died from autoerotic asphyxiation.
And that was the guy that always said, don't hurt me, right?
Don't hurt me! Don't hurt me! But the longest lasting stooge after the stroke was Larry Fine, and that's why you have
a lot of interviews with Larry. Hey, Mo.
And at one point, there was a shot of Larry Fine at the Motion Picture Country Home and Hospital dressed up as a woman for some sort of costume contest. Still
Harry
making people laugh.
Signed us up at Columbia. He was the big boss then, you know. Very eccentric. But he thought we brought him luck. So he said, you
stop,
boys will
pause
be
that.
Here as long...
Please pause that. This is a tape of Larry Fine.
This is definitely Larry Fine.
Yeah, very close to the
right
end. It's Larry
the end.
Fine talking about who was running the studio.
Okay, go ahead.
Keep I'm going. Alive. And we were. And we started the shorts there for 24 years.
Yes.
The stories involved, the sets that they had. In other words, any time they had a big picture, we knew what we were going to have to do. They had a set of a courtroom scene.
You know, it's bad enough that he's got the stroke, but could you put the microphone maybe just a little closer to his mouth?
No. MGM was so
you know what it sounds like? It sounds like they got a condenser microphone. You know the kind that's like right on the camera?
And of course, Curly, no interviews with Curly late in life.
No.
Or Babe, as his as his mates call him, Babe.
Works like magic on more than just mucus.
The Don and Mike Show.
All right, well.
Hello!
That'll count for the opening for today.
You're awful funny, aren't you?
Hey.
Yeah.
All right. A little quiet for Super Josh.
Here we go.
Hello!
Hey, you!
Hi, Bob Barker.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
What do you think of us?
I can't believe it. These guys are fags. These kids are fags. I can't believe it. Down, God damn it, they're fags.
Very inappropriate, amigo.
Very inappropriate, for God's sake.
Rotten hell, you maggoty whore.
Right.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
As always, we like checking in with Buzz.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
All right, and that follows this announcement.
Being careful, it's very important to me, because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
Well,
what have we here?
Golly.
Smells like a bunch of farts got in a fight.
Guess how big it is? It's the size of a stick of butter.
That's big.
Hello, how are you doing? Can I tease and please your blank with my tongue and make you blank over and over?
Right, here's the phone number.
Let's pick a phone and let's call that hotline today.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I just have to wear a diaper.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Thank you.
I like every square inch of my glorious naked body.
I just have to wear a diaper.
What about the vagina?
Exactly. Here's Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
That's our names to wear out. Hi, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
Hi, welcome back.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back. Welcome.
Welcome.
Oh, good. Hi, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
Let's get our Christ on. Let's get your Jesus style.
Hi, J-Man.
Y'all want to walk with the ultimate rebel?
Yeah.
Right? The ultimate CEO? Biggest celebrity of them all?
Yeah.
Who's down with G-O-D?
Right here. Two out of three guys.
What glory is cool.
Absolutely. Hi there.
Looks like baby vomit.
And this is the Don and Mike Show. This is what all the talk's about.
Yeah, it's what you hear about on your street.
Don and Mike Show, and it's Monday. Hope you had a fine weekend. Phone number, same as it was last week, 877-365-3636. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike. Breaking
Howdy.
News.
Hi there, what's
happening?
Hello.
Breaking news. I have breaking news for you guys.
Breaking news. Wow, right out of the chute. Breaking news. This will be helpful
breaking
for me.
Breaking news. Osama, next president. Osama, the next president. What do you say?
Osama bin Laden?
Thank you, Oprah. Hi there. Don and Mike Show.
That was not breaking news.
That was not Oprah.
Mm-mm.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I like your show open now. You went back to the old way. I like it.
What's, the old way.
What do you mean, what's the old way? Well, what, as opposed to what way?
He's gone.
He's gone. That's all he had.
That sounded almost biblical, didn't it? You. You have returned to the old way. Yes, we need you to do it the old way, the way your ancestors did.
See, you hear that as the Bible. I hear that as Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right.
Similar.
Luke.
I am your father.
Luke, go back to the old way.
Mm-hmm. Take your lightsaber and battle Obi-Wan the old way.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, on the Three Stooges, you forgot about Emil Sitka.
Who?
Emil Sitka replaced Larry Fine after he died, and he was a stooge for the year of 1975, and then that was it.
Let me just say, hold on, Rob, you should have known this.
I knew this, but it doesn't count.
Why doesn't it count?
They never made a movie.
Or a short? Did they make a short?
No, they were supposed to be in the movie Blazing Stewardesses, but it fell through. They were replaced by the Ritz Brothers, right?
Blazing Stewardesses.
Am I right, ass?
Yes, you're right.
So go and be quiet.
Hey, come on now.
Wow. Such hostility right out of the chute.
Well, for God's sakes.
The old way.
Look at his herpetic lip.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't see.
No wonder he's mad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
She finally slugged you. Huh?
No, no, no. Far from it.
I thought you were like wearing lipstick or something.
I am.
He was into his eighth beer, went to heat up some pizza.
Oh, that's how you got it.
Yeah. It was bad. What happened is, you know, when you've had eight beers and you go to heat up some pizza, you normally heat it at like, what, 170? But the oven defaults to 350. Uh-huh. So I said, what the hell?
You didn't microwave it?
No, it gets it gooey. I mean, you want the crust to be crisp, right?
Yeah,
you want it to be so hot that it actually peels off the top layer of skin bottom lip.
Went up to get it, put it on a plate, had another beer in my hand, and you know the corner is hanging off the plate.
Right. Sure.
So I took a bite, and some cheese slid with it, and swung. You're approximating it well, and it swung down.
Oh.
And because I just, I guess, had a sip of beer, the lip was cold, and it sort of grabbed on.
Took a minute.
And
fused to the lip.
Had my hands full because I had been eating off the plate with the beer.
Sure.
So all I could do was sort of go, and there it kept baking. Yes.
There's a lesson to be learned there. You know, you want to make it three or four beers before you have the pizza.
So I was able to finally take the cheese off, and then when I went to wipe my lip, about a piece of skin about the size of two quarters slid off.
Ow.
And since then, and to this day still, my lip feels like it's been Novocaine.
And you got to know that Rob has, on a regular basis, chapped lips.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
comes up. Comes
his
in
lips
with
are troublesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got the angry lips most of the time. We're used to the herpetic-like sores.
From and all the kissing I do.
But look at this, though.
This
but occasionally
horrible.
He gets M.E.L., which is difficult for him, too.
M-E-L.
Matt Elliott lip.
That's true. Well, and if I've got it.
We all have it.
But I've never burned myself on the lip so bad. That
I can tell by the way you're talking.
It
you're
immediately,
kind of,
it immediately burnt blood.
Don't hide it from Mike. Just show Mike exactly how it is.
Look.
Doesn't it look like he has lipstick on?
Let's see. Look my God. That like goes down to your chin.
Yeah. Well, the cheese, it was a lot of cheese.
What kind of pizza was it?
That was Papa John's with ground beef.
Worth it.
Delicious.
Papa John's with ground beef.
Yeah, it's like a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
300 degrees and baked to your face.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show.
It hurts so bad.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, just wanted to give you a friendly little reminder that Michael Hughes is still a douchebag.
All right, thank you. That continues from Friday, I guess.
Like we needed a reminder. Like we needed a reminder for that.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Joe Gibbs is a effing idiot.
You know, there is a place for that. There is a place for that discussion.
Yeah.
And it's odd. You know, no one wants to run into this thing and say what it is.
Nobody wants to step on his neck right now. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And, well, gosh, let's start with Sean Taylor. I was at the Redskins game yesterday, and I give them a hard time for everything. That they muck everything up.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say yesterday that this tribute that they did to Sean Taylor in the stadium yesterday was magnificent.
Oh, good.
It was absolutely perfectly done. Perfectly done to the point where I'm amazed that the Redskins could play. The stadium itself, where it's normally loud, was silent, and here's why. It was so stirring. It was so emotional. It was so goddamn sad.
Mm-hmm.
People literally, myself including, were crying, and this thing got done, this 20-minute, for lack of a better word, funeral for Sean Taylor yesterday, and it gets done, and the guy says, the announcer, "Who's ready for football?" And immediately the stadium went over from mourning, reverence, crying. It was like people could not flip the emotional switch.
Yeah, not that quickly.
Fast enough. I mean, I'm just talking about the people that were there in the stadium
right.
to watch the game as fans.
Right.
It was very hard all of a sudden to stand up and go, "Yeah, woo!"
Yeah, and it's tough to... I would imagine tough it is for the fans, it's very tough for the players
right.
as well.
Of course.
To get motivated and for the coaching staff. And I know it's popular to step on Joe Gibbs' neck today
well,
for that, you know, for
tell
that
you why,
last timeout.
And here's why. Seriously. I watch. Also want to preface this by saying I watched the Sean Taylor funeral today on TV. And Joe Gibbs, if there was ever a man of God who was right for the job of speaking at this funeral, it was him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was beautiful, and he was eloquent, and he's into God, and he held it together, and he was magnificent. Joe Gibbs was today talking about the life of Sean Taylor.
Right.
But yesterday, during the actual game that was played, when they started the game, they had 10 players on defense. The Redskins did.
Right.
On purpose.
Right.
They didn't have a guy start where Sean Taylor normally starts.
Okay.
On the first play, they did this.
Kind of the riderless horse thing that they wanted to do for
him. As a tribute to Sean Taylor. And as it turns out, Buffalo ran on that side of the field for 22 yards, first play of the game. They asked Gibbs about this after the game. I was watching the post game. The cat says, I had no idea. I'm going to have to talk to the defensive coordinator.
He didn't know? Could this have been a player's move?
No. It was planned by Greg Williams, who's the defensive coordinator.
So the defensive coordinator does this and doesn't tell the head coach.
It was his idea. He told the team. The team, of course, said, we're for it.
We're with you.
And then in the press conference, Gibbs, because he was just so full of emotion, I mean, I got to think he's slicker than this, that he would normally try to hide the fact to make you think that he knew what was going on. He said, well, I didn't know we had 10 players. I had no idea. I'm going to talk to Greg about this.
You know, it's tough. You're right to talk about him and his abilities today.
And then you go to the field goal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, the Redskins stunk enough that Buffalo got down for a 51-yard field goal to win this game. Gibbs does this thing that, first off, you wouldn't think he would be one of these coaches that plays this game now.
Icing the kicker?
Of calling a timeout just as the dude is kicking the ball.
That's standard practice, though, isn't it, in the NFL?
Yeah, but Gibbs is not one of those guys, generally speaking, who's got the M.O. of doing it right as the guy's kicking.
Right.
But he does it because it's in vogue, and he gets his timeout. Cat makes the field goal. Then he's going to line up and try it again. It's a basic rule. You can't call two timeouts in a row.
Most of the broadcasters broadcasting the game knew that. Most of the people.
I knew that. I knew that as a rule, and I'm not a big guy on the rule book, but I know.
Did you know that it was going to be 15 yards unsportsmanlike if they did it?
Of course, because you get taught that. It's one of the basic rules because it gives the other team absolutely no advantage. There has to be a play in between time. There must be, you know, unless it's an injury or something nutty, but you can't call two timeouts in a row.
Right. Well, it goes from a 51-yard field goal to a chip shot, and it was frustrating. You don't know. He made the first 51-yarder. Yeah. You don't know if he would have made the second one.
So now you've got Coach Gibbs at the podium after the Redskins have lost this emotional game. Mm-hmm. And first he says he doesn't know about the 10 guys. He'll have to look into that. Then he says, and I think this takes a lot of balls, he says, this whole thing was on me.
Mm-hmm.
But then this man of great moral integrity throws a caveat in there. Says, it was on me. I called the timeout that lost the game.
It's about asking the ref, right?
Yeah, he said, but I did ask the ref. Now, hold on just a second. That's like going up to a ref and saying, hey, on this next play, we're thinking about chop blocking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's not the referee's job.
No, it is not, and it's just like a baseball umpire. You know, hey, I'm thinking about taking an extra long lead here, and I'm not going to go back to the base this time. What do you think? You think, can they still tag me out? You know, if you ask a referee, it's not his job to tell the coach what the rules are.
Hey, baseball.
I'd love to know what the referee's response was, and they haven't gotten that yet.
No, they haven't. And I think when Gibbs was asked about it later, he said that all the ref said to him was, tell me when you want to call it.
Yep.
So I don't think.
So the referee cannot, he's probably trained that in no way can he give an indication either way.
Well, it's not his job. Because,
not at all.
Because he would be giving Buffalo an unfair advantage then.
Yeah, he's not going to say, I don't know about that, Joe. That could be a 15-yard penalty.
So that in some ways has to be discussed, that the Redskins lost this game. Maybe, but 100% sure, because of this move by Gibbs.
But even with Gibbs, I know it does come down to Gibbs, but Jesus, how many guys do they have there? How many guys up in the booth? You know, what do you have those headphones on for?
Well, when you
is anybody saying, hey, don't?
I guess not, because
I mean, you know, you talk about the rule. I was listening to the game on the radio. Sonny knew the rule, you know, and Sonny said it early on.
It is surprising.
And of course,
I was
Sam didn't know the rule.
Really?
I stood up and screamed to anyone there that would hear me. I was like, ah! No, no, no two timeouts! No, no, no! Sound like Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah.
No, no, two, no, you no, can't do this!
No timeouts!
No, you're going to ruin the game! You're going to ruin the game for everyone! It's going to be a 31-yard field goal! Or 38-yard field goal! It's a chip shot!
So, yeah.
For the love of God, Gibbs!
So here's the problem. You know, the guys really made some bad decision. And it's obvious that Joe Gibbs doesn't really know what's going on with this team, as evidenced by the fact they start with 10 guys in an 11-man game on purpose, and the coach doesn't know about it.
That amazes me. I mean, and you have to wonder how much control he has over the team, how much control he has over his coaching staff. Right?
Then you balance that with the guy that I'll tell you, the moment that got me yesterday at the game when they showed this thing on the video screen was when Joe Gibbs was looking directly into the camera and said, you know, God, you watch over Sean, you know, until we get. I mean,
right.
So I find it very hard to criticize the guy because his heart's in the right place. I watched him during this funeral today that was covered on TV here in D.C., incredible poise by Joe Gibbs. Really eloquent. The guy could be a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he really, really, really is starting to suck as a football player. However,
coach.
Yeah, I'm sorry, coach. However, you have to say, with all of the stuff that's happened.
The whole team. You know, I mean, you do.
Right.
It does come down to a penalty that resulted in a shorter field goal. But the fact is, what all these guys, you were there. What all these guys were dealing with yesterday, pretty damn difficult to muster it. I mean, to get it together. This is not your average situation.
I feel bad for Gibbs in this regard. And I'm going to echo something that you talked about a second ago, Mike. I don't care if he's the de facto coach, if he's, you know, like our boss, Michael Hughes, a stick who just everybody says is the boss. Seriously, you got to tell him. If he's standing there and he's contemplating calling two timeouts in a row, the Redskins have how many, 25 assistant coaches?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I mean, ridiculous.
I'm trying to echo that. Someone's got to at least lean in on the conversation.
I always think about the guys up there that are watching television,
mm-hmm.
you know, that are watching the game coverage on television. You don't think that they pay attention to the analysis, that hasn't been the basis for a lot of red flags that are thrown in the NFL?
Anyway, it's hard to criticize the guy because, you know, he really is a good man.
It's sad. You know, the whole thing is sad. The whole thing, you know, anybody that's from this town, no matter how you feel about the Redskins, that was the game you wanted to see the Redskins win. You wanted to see them win it, and they were demoralized going right. out there. I'm sure you were at the game. You could tell their play was not inspired. They've been through the war. I mean, they've been through a very, very difficult time, and I don't think there are many teams in the NFL that would be able to pull it together. It just sucks. The whole thing sucks. I'm glad that this weekend is over, and you know who knows what happens the rest of the season. The next week, you get right back to saying, hey, what is the deal here?
Well, they play Thursday.
Right.
They play
Chicago.
This Thursday. They play, you know, 2 days from now.
Yeah. It's been which compounds the difficulty, you know, on the day that they would be having to, you know, to heal their wounds. These guys are on a plane going down to a funeral.
Yeah, now, you know, to be fair, there are quite a few players on the Bears who flew there as well.
Right.
They mentioned during the Bears game, it's funny you find out about NFL ownership. A lot of these rich guys are letting these players take their private jets down.
Mm-hmm.
They said that Devin Hester of the Bears,
mm-hmm.
they really hoped that the game ended on time because he had to catch the last regular commercial flight out of Chicago last night to get down to Miami.
Wow.
After they were talking about like the owner of the Colts is sending Reggie Wayne down on his plane.
So Bears ownership perhaps not standing up and making the jet available.
No. Well, I'm sure they said to him, there's a flight that leaves at midnight
right.
from O'Hare.
Be on it.
You
can do it.
Have you ever been to Expedia.com?
You can get on standby.
Anyway,
on standby for something.
I know I've trashed the Redskins a lot. I thought that was really, really first rate what they did yesterday.
Good. I'm glad to hear you say that.
It was really nice. And the other thing that I would say to the Redskins and to all of you other sports teams out there, if you have a good story with somebody like Sean Taylor, why don't you try talking about it before the guy dies the next time? What I mean is, in this world where we either have guys that are on one of two plateaus, either they're untouchably good and fantastic,
right,
or they're awful.
Right. Are you talking about as human beings or as athletes?
As human beings.
As human beings. Either the great story of the community-minded citizen or the guy that's in trouble all the time.
Now,
you seem in the NFL to hear only about the the guys that are in trouble all the time.
And if there's a guy like Sean Taylor who appeared to be in trouble because that was the presentation that was given to us as fans, and let's face it, as fans, all we are is people watching this like celebrities watching Lindsay Lohan. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's going on. If it says in the newspaper, the last thing about Sean Taylor that I remember was that he was not returning Joe Gibbs' phone calls in the off season. That was the last thing, one of the last things a couple of years ago that was written about him with a lot of prominence. Now, the Redskins never came out and said, hey, we got to tell you something. All of these incidents, like him ignoring Joe Gibbs down in Florida and not taking the coach's calls and joking about it, he's not like that anymore.
He's turned it around.
Everything
that I've read about Sean Taylor is that when he had the baby, when his girlfriend had the baby, that's when he started turning a corner. It really was a significant, impactful event in his life, and that's everybody to a man was saying he had turned his life around, and he wasn't doing the things he had done before, and he was straightening his act out. That's what makes this more of a tragedy. But you're right. I never heard of. Did you ever hear? I didn't even know.
No.
That he was making these changes in his life.
No, that's why last week when this all came out, I said I'm not surprised. And then Michael Wilbon got some heat for saying that.
Right.
And some guy at the Post got heat for saying that.
Kornheiser said it, I think, too.
And I don't know if they'll say this. I'll say to Sean Taylor's family, I apologize because I didn't know the circumstances surrounding your son.
Right.
Just like, and I said this to somebody over the weekend, if someone had said to me, Jeremy Shockey had been involved in a shooting, I would say the same thing. I'm not surprised. Jeremy Shockey went to the University of Miami. He's been in some trouble.
Right.
He's a hooligan, a tough guy. Same difference.
Not surprised based on history that someone would get in trouble again.
Right. But about Sean Taylor, there are some things now that are indisputably true. I mean, the cops would not be coming out and saying.
Can I get back to the I'm not surprised? That seems to be the buzz quote that's being used. Not the buzz quote, but the action quote that's being used for you and for a lot of other people that have said that. None of you guys were, all of you were surprised that someone was murdered. I mean, it's always a surprise when somebody gets shot to death. Mm-hmm. You would not have been surprised based on the lack of information that we all had if he was involved in some kind of trouble again.
No.
And this falls into that umbrella of trouble. I mean, anytime somebody gets murdered, it's a shock and it's a surprise.
And I was watching TV about this over the weekend, and I was watching that show with George Michael, a Redskins show.
Yeah, I watched a little of that.
It's got Riggins on. It's got Michael Wilbon on. And
I actually watched the coach's show where it was just Sonny and George talking to the coach.
And they were having a discussion about this whole thing with Wilbon having written in the newspaper. Yeah, he wasn't surprised. And then Riggins kind of said, well, I'll paraphrase for you. John Riggins said, I agree with you, but because I'm not your color skin, I can't say that. That is ridiculous. I mean, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You can't comment, speculate about a public person with the knowledge that the media has given you unless you are the same color as them.
Well, that statement alone turns it into a racial thing, it was never a racial. I mean, I think we've gotten beyond that as far
I don't
as
think
the
it
NFL
was,
is concerned.
Well, I know it wasn't with me. No one gives a crap what I said. I know that Michael Wilbon is getting some crap for having said this very same thing. You know, gee, I'm sorry I said that. I really am. I wish that if there are more good stories like that about guys with less than great pasts who have turned it around, mm-hmm. well, then the NFL and those teams should do a better job of telling us about that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if they're going to motivate these young guys to raise their bar, and to play at a off the field, at a higher level, recognize the fact that with their God-given talent that these guys do have, a stage where they can make an impact on younger people. I mean, I think they ought to get it out there and get a PR machine working for it. I mean, what do we see? What have we seen for 30 years in the NFL? The United Way. Thanks to us, it's working. I mean, that's all you see. You don't really hear about these guys doing a lot of the good stuff.
And rather than take...
But boy, you hear about the bad stuff.
And rather than take Sean Taylor now and just romanticize him, and it, sickens me that it turns into a Princess Diana type thing with people. It's the big giant stack of animals that are plush animals and the notes and the stuff. And it's like people are getting their picture taken next to it at the stadium yesterday. Like, hey, look at me. I'm here at the big.
Everybody wants to, you know, we found that out after 9/11. Everybody wants to marry themselves to the tragedy. Right. Everybody does. That's the American way. If there's one thing that's certain in this country, we like to marry ourselves to a tragedy. We really do.
But rather than remember Sean Taylor as a good football player, I think now that all the facts are out, seriously, and I know he had been compared, and I myself had said, what about the guys and women in Iraq that are getting killed every day? You know, well, Sean Taylor, I believe, was a hero because some cat broke into his house, and he went out there to defend his girlfriend and his kid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that's not heroic, I don't know what is. So it's pretty simple now. The guy is a hero, and maybe we should talk about how easy it is for people to get guns in this country and how this kind of stuff happens. But no one really wants to have any of those discussions of any substance.
No, because it's painful. And we don't like to deal with what's painful. We don't like to deal with the serious stuff. What we like to deal with is, you know, who showed their crotch getting out of a limo. That's where we are.
Anyway.
You know, and you're not going to hear about it. And I said all this stuff last week. I said a lot of this stuff last week. And, you know, the fact is, really, the gun availability and the guns, that's what killed the guy. You know, and it's unfortunate that we're in that situation. Now, what would you hear a person say to you? On the other side, they would say, hey, wait, you know, maybe if he had a gun, this wouldn't have happened. Well, but then again, maybe it would have been worse.
Well, Mike, and this is where you get to the whole thing about Sean Taylor. Maybe he would have had a gun if he hadn't been in trouble with the cops before.
Exactly. So many maybes.
And he couldn't have a gun because he had been in trouble with the cops
before. Due to a gun violation.
Right. And again, you know, if the cat, and I believe this now, had turned his life around, and if he's a bit shy, a camera shy, reporter shy, well, he's got all of his buddies on the team. He's got Gibbs. He's got all these people. This would be a story that I would think you would want to let all of the people in the community know. Sean Taylor had turned his life around. How many of you can honestly say before this happened, you knew that?
Yeah. I don't think anybody knew it.
Good question.
You know what another sad thing is about this, reading a little bit as they piece together this home invasion, which I guess the police are, you know, every day getting closer and closer to tying this whole thing up. Mm-hmm. You know, it sounds to me like these guys that went over there, you know, had no idea that anyone was going to be home.
Nope.
That they thought the guy was, you know, off doing something else, or maybe even they were so stupid they didn't realize that he might have still been with the team, you know. And that's the thing that really sucks.
You know, I watched that. I think back.
That's why, because they were, you know, they're cowards that do this kind of thing. And they probably broke in thinking nobody was going
to
be at home.
I think about the idiotic world we live in. Didn't cat burglars used to wear like, or like guys that were going to break into your house, didn't they wear like all dark sweats and maybe they had like a knife in their mouth in case they had to cut through a screen or something.
But, yeah, and they had the ski mask on, you know, and they'd scale the wall.
But don't we generally think of guys like that like in the ADT commercial where there's the guy outside and they go,
yes.
They go. And as soon as he hears it, breaks the glass, he goes, oh, I got to leave.
Right.
He doesn't pull out a gun and start shooting everybody.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it sounds to me really, the more I read about this, is that this was a home invasion that, you know, turned into a home invasion.
Right.
You know, that he actually stumbled upon, oh, my God, there's some people home. Well, blast, blast, blast. It sucks. It really sucks.
Just makes it sadder. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, gentlemen.
Hey.
You know, how many of us on this planet really knew the man, for one thing, and can really comment on, you know, his life and if he turned it around?
Well, don't you think that's what being a celebrity is, though? I mean, that's the way it is, especially, you know, in this country and throughout the world. If you're in the public eye, everybody's going to judge you. You're going to be judged. That's what's going to happen.
The public eye's perception is just what they tell you it is.
Right.
And, you know, everybody was surprised. Everybody was surprised the man died from a gunshot to the leg. You thought, oh, nobody was surprised he got in some gun trouble based on his past. They weren't surprised about that, but that he perished as a result from a gun, you know, leg wound is...
See, and again, that's how little we know. Those of us who don't own guns think that we're watching goddamn Law and Order.
Yeah.
And it's like, a guy got shot in the leg? Ah! you'll be okay.
Yeah, I think that's another thing when you talk about the gun culture that we have. When you watch television and you see these guys get shot 4 and 5 times and they survive, when you realize that the way I heard it one time is that
it's just a wound in my shoulder. I'm fine. You run ahead.
I'm going to be perfectly all right, and I'm going to finish chasing the bad guys around. Mm-hmm. What people don't realize is a bullet enters your body anywhere. It can cause shock of such a massive extent that it can kill you instantaneously.
Haven't we learned that now from CSI? Haven't we all seen those great shots of the video going inside the body, of the bullet going inside
the body? Oh, my God. You realize what can happen.
See where the hell it goes? Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
It also hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts a lot.
Like your lip.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Not that bad. Hi, guys.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, thanks for being the only place I've heard anywhere, including all the mainstream media, to express this point of view I have about the guns and Sean Taylor. I mean,
well, listen, I got to tell you, really, you should go back and watch. I never like saying this about Jesse Jackson, but watch what Jesse Jackson had to say at the beginning of the funeral today. I thought the guy cut right to
about
it.
About the culture of guns?
About the culture of guns.
Yeah.
I expected Jesse Jackson to stand up today with more of his rhetoric just, you know, hey, look at me. This is a tragedy, so I'm here because I'm Jesse Jackson. And he actually stood up and said something that I know everybody in that room felt strongly about.
And, you know, it's continuing. I mean, if you pay attention to what's happening in the world, especially in this country, more and more laws trying to get passed each and every month, more laws to get bigger, more powerful weapons in the hands of the public. And you're going to see more of this crap.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Hi, just backing up to the game for a moment. Unfortunately, due to the terrible tragedy that's taking place, obviously it's beyond any of us to scrutinize the players where a person's life, it goes far beyond the value of a football game. I will say one thing, though. I don't believe the game really came down to Joe Gibbs' call. Yes, it was a terrible judgment call, but when you get right down to it, the whole offense didn't produce when they needed to. They were in the red zone 3 or 4 times and didn't put the points on the board. And then the other thing was...
Hey, hold on. Not to bust nuts so much, but what about early in the game? There was a 4th and 1, and he decides to go for it. Now, please, in that regard, I'm screaming, have you learned anything? Kick the field goal. Take the sure points. Well, they go out for 4th and 1, and there's illegal movement, and they get yanked back 5. They got to kick the field goal.
I personally
anyway.
Don't agree with you on that. The whole stadium was behind his decision. I was there, and it seemed like the right thing.
Yeah, listen, I want to tell you something, though. Yeah, it always seems like the right thing to do.
Doesn't everybody in the stands, they always want you to go for it.
Haven't we learned by now with the Redskins that they gamble too much on 4th and 1? Take the points. If there are points there, take them.
I found that the coach, though, has been ultra-conservative most of the season, and he's been criticized for that. I'm glad that he did take that chance. But I don't think...
All right, well, we're dangerously getting into sports radio.
We are getting into sports radio. I have a question about when you were there yesterday. Did you sense that it was that the crowd was more easily taken out of the game?
Yeah.
Because of the circumstances?
Sure. I mean, everybody...
It sounded like that on TV.
Everybody was deflated.
Yeah.
You know? And like I
not
said,
easy to not hard to knock them down. Yesterday.
You can't take people's emotions like that and play with people's emotions like
and
that.
And the whole point really is out of this whole thing, it makes the players, it makes the fans realize, yes, it's a shame that the Redskins lost the game, but this tragedy demonstrates that this game is a very small part of what life is really about.
Right.
You know, and you've heard it again, and if you really want to put it into practice,
and for those,
then you can't bitch too loudly about the Redskins game yesterday.
For those who say that this tragedy put everything in perspective for the Redskins, well, how'd that work out?
Yeah.
Right?
That's not what I'm hearing today.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of perspective today. There's really not a lot of perspective at all.
And as they were doing the post game on Channel 9, they had that tool, Brett Haber, sitting out there interviewing fans, and they got like 5 or 6 in a row coming out of the stadium. This is right on the heels of them losing, going, that's it. Gibbs has got to go. Mm. Joe Gibbs has got to be fired. And then some guy walks right up to the camera and says, I am going to fire JoeGibbsNow.com.
That's cool. You know, I probably shouldn't say this, but I could tell with the fan interviews that I've heard and watched today, You get the people that you really know are hurting by this thing, that are, and then the people that seem to be trying to say the things they think they're supposed to say. And you always get that with fans. You get that whether it's a football game, whether it's a tragedy. You get people that have been so saturated by television and television interviews that they will say, this is a supreme tragedy for everyone, and we, our hearts and our prayers go. Do you know what I mean? And I don't want to look. I'm not questioning whoever the individuals are. Perhaps they're sincere.
You know, you're
it
talking
just
about?
Sounds to me so. It's like people are making it up. You know, like talking, you can say to a fan that would say, "This is a tragedy for everybody," and then in five seconds later, you said, "Well, what position did he play?" I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, that could have been.
And that just
everybody.
Frustrates me a little. Yeah, that frustrates me a little bit. Really does.
Our soundbite culture.
It is. I mean, but people now, the fans especially in this town, when it comes to the Redskins, they know the soundbites.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, I think your perspective is good with the guns. But, you know, the other thing I don't think any of the media is touching upon, when I heard about all this, I wanted to know, you know, regards to Sean Taylor, what was his upbringing like? Were his parents together? What was he like as a child or a Pop Warner star?
Well, see, now I can tell you a little bit about that because up until recently when, now that we know he's turned his life around, the reason I know about him is because every time there was a story about him getting in trouble with a gun violation or whatever it was, DUI, they would mention the guy came from a good neighborhood. Mm-hmm. He had a mom and a dad. His dad is a police chief.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The guy True. Grew up. So he was not the classic story of someone who came from the inner city.
He is the classic story of someone who...
From what I understand.
He's the classic story of someone who got the fame and fortune so fast, and a lot of guys just can't handle it. I mean, that he is certainly not the first that's wigged out a little bit when he's gotten the money and the fame. It happens to a lot of guys.
Hey there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hi there. What's happening?
I just wanted to pick your brain on the Sean Taylor issue and gun control. And
I want to tell you something right now. This is not the place for it. Okay?
Bye!
I want to tell you, I speak for myself. Mike, you chime in if you like. Mm-hmm. I'm not for guns. Any of you a-holes out there that want to call in and make this a whole amendment issue?
No, because really that...
Kiss my big pimply ass.
That doesn't do any good. It really doesn't. I've heard all the arguments. You know, the fact is...
I don't want to hear from Robert about acceptable gun laws or Dave, who's a gun control guy, or Phil, who wants to say, these are our God-given rights. Please, you know what all you can do? Kiss my ass. If you're a gun owner and you feel that way, go out and shoot yourself in the leg. And see how that feels. Uh-huh. Get back to me.
It'll hurt a lot.
It does hurt.
Just shoot yourself right in the groin, just like Sean Taylor was, and then lay there and see if you act like a guy on TV. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lenny, I'm okay. It's just a flesh wound. You go catch the bad guy.
You know, rarely do we bring something up that people start getting excited about when we start talking about guns.
No. Mm-hmm.
Because they're all out there.
And we're not going to.
I drive by the building every single day. I drive by the NRA every single day.
And we ain't going to discuss it on this show. Our status, our feeling is anti-gun. I speak for me, for Mike.
You know, and...
For Buzz, maybe.
Yeah. You want one fact, okay?
Rob's a member of the NRA.
Fact is, I don't care how this... whoever killed, murdered Sean Taylor got the guns. I don't care what the circumstances were. The bottom line... He was killed with a gun, and that's all you need to know. He was killed with a gun. He was murdered with a gun.
Mike.
As so many people are.
Guns don't kill people.
People kill people. Oh, my God.
That's right.
How long has that been around?
Well, we're not getting into that discussion. This ain't the place for it, so change the channel. Seriously.
Yeah.
Guns are outlawed. Only outlaws will have guns, Don.
It's coming from the only member of the show who really, in real life, is a member of the NRA.
Are you a member of the NRA? Just to go and you just went in there to shoot guns, right?
I can fire at their range. But I had to take the quiz.
Can I be anti-gun and also go to enjoy going to a firing range?
I don't think so. I don't think so, Mike. That's feel like having a cake and eating it,
but
too.
You've shot skeet before.
I've had a gun in my hand one time.
Uh-huh. Was that the only time when you were with me?
Yes, and how did I react to that?
Don't hurt me!
Very badly. I didn't like it. No. No.
But if you want to shoot at the NRA range, you do have to take the NRA quiz.
Right.
And I only remember one question. It's a true or false.
Yeah.
And it's guns are awesome.
True or false. What'd you put?
I can't remember, but I did pass.
All right.
Well, I'm complicated that way.
Yeah, you are.
Let's just let's take one call here.
Texture.
We'll go to a break. Hello, Don, on my show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's happening?
Excellent. You guys are capitalist gods, right?
Right on.
Excellent. Well, listen, the Sean Taylor towels that we all got at the game yesterday,
yeah,
they're doing wonders on eBay today.
Oh, I'm sure. People are selling them?
Hold on. Yeah, Joe just pulled it up. Are you kidding me?
Of course they are.
$103, $122, Sean Taylor dedication towel and ticket game stub. Sean Taylor dedication towel. God. Can I tell you something about these towels?
Please.
That the Redskins gave out yesterday. If you're one of the people on eBay idiotically trying to bid on this, they were given away to 90,000 people. Every time people shook these towels, it appeared to be snowing in the stadium.
Wow. Are you talking about the quality of the textile?
I said to anyone in my section who would listen, as I held my Sean Taylor towel, I said, you know what we call this where I live? Brawny. Because
you're saying that the fabric that the towels were made of was not of a quality nature?
Certainly not worth $100, and they don't have, I mean, on eBay, uh-huh. And they don't have anything on them that says.
Are they embroidered or silk screened?
It's silk screened. Uh-huh. It's silk screened with the number 21, embroidered in gold. Right. That's it. Save your money.
Right.
Seriously. Save your money.
Well, they're going to still sell them. Bid with confidence.
Sure.
Did Rob ask you for yours yet?
What you want to look for are the hats that they were selling at the stadium yesterday that said Sean Taylor RIP, that had that embroidered in the back of the back of the hat.
Slightly more quality item.
That's one you want.
Any proceeds of those sales going to any?
Don't really know about that, Mike.
Something we might want to research.
Didn't feel it was right to get into that because
you're probably not the best day to do that. But it's, if it happens, if that information happens to come our way,
yes.
Down the road, I would be. Just a little bit curious.
How many of these things are on eBay?
Well, when you get 90,000 people.
81 Sean Taylor free giveaway towels. Wow.
And they're all on eBay?
On eBay right now.
All selling for over $100.
No, some of the later ones are down to $6.
Hey, I got news for you. It'll be at least 200 after we're done talking about it.
Okay.
Yeesh.
Right. Hi there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on with you?
Driving home.
Okay, now that we've established that, is there any particular reason you called?
Yes, there is. I wanted to compare this whole Joe Gibbs being the coach while the Sean Taylor tragedy happened to George Bush being the president while 9/11 happened. You know, it was good that he was there. He was there for his guy, like George
Bush.
You
know, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say... You may be taking football too seriously. That's just my opinion. I
don't
could
think
be
so,
wrong.
Mike. Let him speak.
Not at all. I just like George Bush. That's all.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Let's end it right there.
Our nation does.
Yeah, and the results show he's doing a super job of it.
I only wish that the Redskins would hire him as a player coach.
What could
George W. Bush.
What could W. Still in fine shape. He could still run a post pattern.
Let him play that corner spot. Let him coach the team.
W.
Let him run the country.
Right. I was
fancy digs you got here.
I was drawing parallels between this and 9/11 all morning.
Brother, what can I do to help you?
Everyone wants.
Football is serious business.
I tell you what, Jack, you couldn't be more feebed out standing on the sidelines there, calling timeouts. Poor Gibbs.
Poor Gibbs. Really, and that's, I agree. I feel sorry for him.
Sure.
And here's the other thing. The eating habits, Joe. You know, when you came back, you said you weren't going to spend all the time in the office
right.
eating ding-dongs and yoo-hoos. And,
you're talking about the breasts?
Yes.
The breasts are starting to get very large again.
The mitts. Mm.
The mitts. And it's that NFL coach's breast. They develop. They don't get super. There are a few of them that get just plain fat. But most of them are these guys that probably have been thin all their lives.
Yes.
And they develop mammaries.
If only there was a way that we could find to use this technology with women, to have women start to eat bad food.
Yeah, then you could just ply them full of ho-hos and their breasts would get bigger.
And they only get bigger boobs.
A beautiful, beautiful topless shot of Bill Parcells.
Bill Parcells, who you know, really was one of the Tom Flores and Bill Parcells. But Bill Parcells was fat all over. But even he, as fat as he was, when tuna was super fat, Tuna's boobs were bigger than the rest of his body.
And magnificent.
But he still had boobs like a fat girl has boobs.
Yes, he did.
Bill Parcells did. Mm-hmm. What you want is a guy like Gibbs, or a classic guy like you mentioned.
Right.
The former coach of the Raiders, Tom Flores.
Tom Flores, who appeared to have a 34 to 36-inch waist.
A guy who's really not fat.
Right.
But he's just old and flabby, and his pecs and his boobs.
And he wears the medium golf shirt, which show off the breasts like nobody's business. Don Coryell. And a wasting away coach, a man that was just withering away to nothing, but he had little buds, little training bra buds that he had all the time.
Dan Reeves got them.
And Jimmy, Dan Reeves was always a guy in shape.
Jimmy Johnson, of course, he had them coming into the job.
He was slightly chunkier than your average coach. But even if you have them, you could dress better.
Sure.
And it's always the coaches that had the mitts that would wear the tight golf shirt. That wouldn't pay attention to what they're putting on their body.
Would someone please tell Andy Reid, I don't care how many items you wear in black, you're still a big load.
Andy Reid could do so much better. Look at the wealth of merchandise that's available to the coach of an NFL team to wear.
You know what he says every week? I would like the size 4X black jacket, the 4X pregnancy pants. I would like the 4X black hat.
But it's going to be all screwed as soon as he puts that belt around it.
And cinches it tight?
Yes.
Yeah, under the gut.
As soon as he puts the belt over the clothes, he's done.
And, you know, one of the worst kept secrets in Dallas is how they used to have to strap down Tom Landry.
And, of course, now that you mentioned Dallas, Wade Phillips is another one. He's a fat guy.
He's a fat guy,
but
though.
He's also got big, beautiful breasts.
Maybe if he lost a lot of weight, he could keep his full bosom.
They all do.
You know who doesn't, though? Coach Norv.
Norv is a thin as a rail guy, always thin, but, you know, he's got that skin issue to deal with.
And he's a loser.
Big loser.
So there's that.
Big double loser. Norville.
It's not too late to help Mr. Del Rio, is it? Can we nip this in the bud?
He doesn't appear to have mitts.
American Dad.
I think he could. I think he could easily go that way.
Nah, there's a bunch of guys that don't have it. He doesn't have it. Tony Dungy doesn't have it.
Bill Cowher didn't have it when he was coaching. These are the guys that like to keep themselves.
Nobody throw Romeo Cornell in here because that's not fair because he's got boobs. He could lose 500 pounds and he would still have huge boobs.
Right.
I think Coach Dungy could get implants.
That's the only way that he would have boobs.
A tasteful C cup, a and small
C. Herm Edwards also in great shape.
Yeah, impossible.
Fantastic
shape. Coach Gruden.
Yeah, John Gruden, another guy in great shape.
Impossible for him to have breasts.
I miss the real super, you know, Andy Reid's the last of a dying breed, the super, super fat coach.
He never really dresses down enough, so you could tell. What about Coughlin?
Commandant Coughlin?
You think he's got him?
Yes. Yeah, yes. As a matter of fact, he does dress down. When he wears the New York Giants white golf shirt, you can see that he's got that. But I never pay attention to his body because I'm always looking at those little rodent rat eyes of his. Have you ever really taken a look at the guy? He looks seriously. If you gave him buck teeth and whiskers, he would resemble seriously a sewer rat.
He looks to me like a woman getting ready for a Broadway show where they put all of the red flush on the cheeks.
Yeah, he is a nasty-looking man, an evil, nasty, rat-like-looking man. And Eli, you know, I mean, just, you know I'm a Giants fan, and I'm watching the Giants. Sheely. And just, I watched Eli, you know, big come-from-behind win yesterday. Good win for the Giants. He gets excited for, like, in this spazzy way, for 5 seconds,
he's
he goes,
a retard.
Yay! And then he goes back to having the ridiculous-looking ski cap and his mouth agape. He is the ultimate mouth breather. I wish he would close his mouth. His brother Peyton doesn't have his mouth hanging open that
often. That's the problem, man. He's like Roger Carter. I mean, he's like, or Billy Carter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's Billy Carter. He's Roger Clinton.
Carlos said it to me yesterday watching the Little Brother Syndrome. Said, you got it right.
Excuse me, I'm following the plot of the killer movie I saw this weekend, Fred Claus.
Did you see Fred Claus finally?
Saw it. Loved it.
Did you really?
Loved it. I'm a huge Vince Vaughn fan.
Good, I'll take my daughters to it. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. There's a great scene where they have, well, what do I care? Ruin it. Ruin this.
I'm going to ruin away.
They have,
it's been out long enough, too.
Siblings Anonymous. So he sits down and he says, my brother is Santa Claus. And everybody says, right. And in the room, doing really great cameos are Roger Clinton, Bill Clinton's brother, Frank Stallone. And then the one that really catches you out of nowhere is you see this guy stand up and go, what is your problem? And then the group says, as a mantra, they go, you're not Alec. And it's
it's a Baldwin.
It's Billy Baldwin.
It's Billy Baldwin.
Perfect. Oh, really? Is that funny?
I thought that was funny.
That's great.
I thought that's funny.
You got two good actors in it, so you enjoyed Fred Claus.
I did.
Fred Claus.
I did. Me and every other booger eater in there.
Sure. Was there a lot of talking in the theater?
Oh, I forgot. You're in a movie like that. It's like...
Yeah, it's Idiot Brigade.
You might as well be watching the movie from one of those giant Playmobiles inside a McDonald's.
And it's Fred Claus like 4 weeks into it.
Yeah, it's Fred
right?
Claus.
So it's Fred Claus for the people that didn't see it right away.
Fred Claus playing at the smallest theater in the 18-theater megaplex we went to.
I just laugh at you walking into Fred Claus. I just would like to see you walking up to the ticket counter. Two for Fred Claus, please.
And even better, Mike, it might be people that are coming back to see it again.
Sure. Oh, very likely.
They'll know the plot.
That's even better.
I had so much more fun the second time because I've seen it.
I think you're right for going to see it in December. As opposed to, seeing it when it first came out, right around Thanksgiving.
When am I going to go see this weekend? There's that dumb Disney movie. I don't want to see that. I think I've seen...
Enchanted?
Yeah, I've seen about everything else.
Fabulous!
I mean, I just wasn't in the mood to go see, like, the Coen Brothers movie.
Right.
I like Vince Vaughn. And also, I love a movie star who in every movie seriously looks like he hasn't slept for 5 days.
He's got the anus eyes.
He's got
the double anus eyes.
He really looks like he shows up for work literally with 15 minutes sleep every day.
And this is so the same Vince Vaughn, the same one we saw in Wedding Crashers.
Same one as in The Breakup. Same one as in Swingers.
Vince Vaughn.
It's the same guy. It's the same. He winks. You know, hey, you got to do it? Hey, you know what I'm doing?
Did you laugh out loud when he was too big for the bed?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I
look
did.
At that. They got an elf sized bed and he's had legs hanging out of it.
Yeah, and I had, they were very nice. Went to Regal Cinemas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. And as we were waiting to get our popcorn, the manager came up and said hello. And I said, hey, how you doing? And he said, what are you going to go see tonight? And I said, we're going to see Fred Claus. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me and he said, it's not bad.
Not bad. Well, listen, why don't you get over there? They're letting people into the...
didn't laugh and think you were joking?
No, so then we're leaving the theater, and another manager guy is standing by the door, and as we're leaving, he comes up to me and he says, and I say, yeah, hi, what can I do for you? And he says, the other guy, the other manager, very nice, give me like 20 passes. You always
get the royal treatment at that theater.
I don't ask
called
for
Regal.
It. I don't ask for it.
But you know what? Isn't that the theater that you and I had the privilege of opening?
Yeah.
And thank you very much. Yes.
What's
red
funny
carpet
is
treatment.
The assistant manager says, I say, oh, come on. I don't need these tickets. Right. He said, give them to your kid when he's home for the holidays or whatever.
Sure.
And I said, no, please take them. I feel awkward. And he said, no. You just paid to go see Fred Claus. This is the assistant manager said to me, you just paid $10 a ticket to go see Fred Claus. Please take some of these passes.
Yeah. Please. We owe you.
I'm telling you.
This was a charity purchase that you just made.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I liked the movie.
You're right. Keeping people employed during the writer's strike.
Did you walk away from Fred Claus with the same question Regis had? How did they make Ludacris so small?
Oh, no.
He's very small. How did they do that?
God.
Yeah. Hiya, waya. Yeah, my little sheltered life. Hey, did you take
Face
show TV. Today?
I think I have it at home.
Did you get, at one point he said he would like to, he was talking about toothpaste.
Right.
And how he was coming back from the Bahamas where they did their show and he had a tube of toothpaste and TSA wouldn't let him through with the
tube
of toothpaste.
Yeah, he was doing a whole riff on TSA and how they were difficult.
Regis Philbin said, I wanted to squirt it in her mouth.
Oh, well, I find that.
Exactly.
That would be nice. Hey. That would be nice to have that out of context.
And, of course, she was walking him through it, explaining how, I would think Regis has been through some airports, but he still has that old man thing going
on. I don't believe he carries toothpaste. I think he uses tablets.
That's right. And grip.
That's right.
And super poly grip.
So you didn't get that. We didn't have that today?
No. I must have missed it.
Oh, that's too bad.
I will find it.
That stinks.
Okay. Oh, we got to do a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
One more time. Goodbye, Evil.
Hi, this is Evil Knievel. I'm here in Washington, D.C. with my son, Robbie. Robbie, would you ever listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara?
No.
Neither would I.
The Don and Mike Show.
Live from Club Media Corner, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Sure, Van Halen's nice, but it's not a tribute record to Evel Knievel.
Evel Knievel is a hell of a guy. He'll ride his sackle into the sky. He'll jump Devil's Canyon 600 feet deep.
Thank you.
And if he don't make it, poor Linda's gonna weep.
Anyway, thank you.
Not a current tribute to Evel Knievel.
I did that when I was just a boy.
That's right. That was released on Skank Records by Mike O'Mara.
Forgot what year, Don. It's been so long ago.
1974, Mike.
74, yes. As a boy.
1974.
As a boy who wanted a toy.
The Ballad of Evel Knievel. Mike O'Mara.
I watched Evil's bio over the weekend.
Evel
this wasn't on it.
Is a hell of a guy.
They did rerun that Caesar's Palace crash about a million times, didn't they?
Amazing piece of footage where you literally see every bone in his body break simultaneously.
This? Evel Knievel and his poem called Why.
Seems that everywhere in this world I go.
Where did we get this?
This is very Elvis-like.
Why?
It's called Why. Where did we get this, Robbie?
It's from some website. I think it was actually extracted from YouTube where someone put up a montage of his best non-successes and put this poem over
it. Those crashes?
Yeah.
Why?
Seems that everywhere in this world I go, no matter who or what I know, the people, they look, and most of them stare. Why? And I wonder if they really care. See this king with his golden crown. Some of them smile, but most of them frown.
He's a good rhymer, like Lionel Richie.
Yeah.
And I see them cry.
Oh, what a feeling.
No matter what.
And I'm dancing on the ceiling.
I'll ask why.
It was nice to see, like...
Why? Why?
On his Snake Canyon jump, when he'd make his entrance, and he would have a walking stick.
Yeah, he had that late in his career.
Yeah, he did have a cane.
We all have a...
Golden crown.
Big X-Men cane.
Why?
Why?
In my way of life, I'm glad that I found, for
they could have
like
seen
you,
me.
I do make the world go round.
Why?
We're all alike.
Why?
Oh, yes, we are.
Why do you favor
all
rape?
I have a dream on some faraway star.
Why?
For me.
What evil?
When it's over and done.
Why?
At the end of a day, my men go to relax, but I go to pray.
Wow.
For I know that tomorrow, some other place, I'll have that jump again to face.
Why?
Each time I was hurt, they all said...
I'm just going to fade this out.
I'm
not really sure what to do.
I was captivated. I was totally captivated. I watched the Evel Knievel biography over the weekend, and I was most fascinated by his sexual habits.
Really?
Which he spent a good chunk of time talking about.
Like what?
Well, there was a period in his career where it was not unusual for Evel to bed 8 women in a day.
My man.
In a day. And
would he jump over them?
He wouldn't jump over them until the end of the day. But he actually had men that would bring their girlfriends up to his hotel room, and they'd wait outside.
Wow.
While Evel would
service them.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Very interesting guy.
Amazing.
You know his next jump? Into a hole.
Evel Knievel is a hell.
Can you picture that? Darling, I was maybe the greatest jump I ever seen. It would make me proud to be your husband if you would go to room 2847.
I bet he will do you.
And have sex with the great Evel Knievel.
He concluded that he got as many women as he did because the whole death-defying thing.
Sure.
That was the way that's a shocker, isn't it? I wouldn't have figured that one out myself.
I'm a daredevil.
I'm a daredevil. Come on in, darling. You're number 7 for the day.
Sex in my rocket.
Oh, he was mad at that guy that designed the rocket, too.
Well, sure.
That's who he blames it on. The engineer that designed his Snake River Canyon rocket.
But in retrospect, I mean, it's so badly conceived. I'm going to get in a rocket, and they're going to shoot me a mile over a canyon.
He would have made it over Snake River Canyon if the parachute hadn't deployed. They had the handle that was designed for the parachute.
You've always been such a champion for him.
I love Evel.
I remember this when this was on Wide World of Sports.
Yeah, right. They had it duct taped so that the thrust of the rocket would not cause the handle that releases the chute to deploy. Evel Knievel is a hell of a guy. That's how exciting my weekend was.
But of all his stunts, that's perhaps the least impressive because it's just him in a rocket. It could be anybody in
a rocket.
Yeah,
but he got pretty messed up in that rocket.
He had the parachute.
He had a blackout, and then he had a redout. Did you know
that?
What
is that?
A blackout is when all the blood rushes out of your head.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And a redout is when it rushes back in and you bleed from every opening he had.
I remember bleeding.
Beth Ann had one of those, I think, when she was here.
A redout.
Yeah.
A delightful redout.
When she wore her yellow dress.
Well, he was mad at this engineer. He's an angry guy, Evel Knievel.
Sure. Not anymore.
I learned something about our friend Buzz over the weekend.
Did you really?
You mentioned that you had a weekend that wasn't very exciting.
Not all that exciting. It was with my daughters. It was good enough for me.
I had a rather pedestrian weekend as well. Mm-hmm. Saturday, my gal, Janet, went out with Buzz's wife, Marcia, to a craft fair.
Always fun. Right.
And, you know, I was thinking, if they ever get a third named Cindy, you'd have Jan, Marcia, and Cindy.
That's Marcia.
The Brady girls.
But that's just me.
Yeah.
So they get back from whatever it is, craft fair, and they went to the mall. Of course, you know, my girlfriend lives at the mall. I know it's a holiday. She spent most of the day there Saturday.
Not a good time to be at the mall.
I thought I had a genius plan yesterday. It worked out pretty well. We took two cars to the mall and dropped her car off at the mall at 9:30 a.m.
Right.
On the way to the football game.
Right.
So then on the way back home from the football game, I just dropped her off at the door of the mall and said, you know, adios.
Have fun. She was going to spend the rest of the evening at the mall.
And she spent the next 6.5 hours
oh my God.
At the mall. Oh,
wow.
God, that's hideous. God. Jesus, really? It's awful. But one of the things that I found out when she got back from her first go-round of marathon shopping
right.
with Buzz's wife mm-hmm. was that Saturday night, Buzz and Marcia, and apparently these plans didn't go through. Their big plan was they're going to go play bingo.
Exciting, isn't it? That is tremendously exciting.
And then I said to Janet, well, you gotta follow up.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta like call on Sunday and I gotta know what's happening. Well, as it turns out, Marcia called our house on Sunday and they talked about something else. And I said to Janet, so what's the deal? Did Buzz actually go to bingo?
Uh-huh.
And she said, no, they didn't go to bingo. It was canceled. But there's another great event that they're looking forward to together.
I can't wait to hear what it is.
They were given, as a couple, mm-hmm. was this for a Christmas gift?
I think I know where you're going with this. Yeah, from last year, as a matter of fact.
Yes. Couples cooking classes.
A cooking class where a chef.
Wow.
You watch Kitchen Nightmares. I don't. A chef comes to your house and gives you cooking tips, which is pretty cool. This does not strike me as your cup of tea. Oh, my God. I love to cook. You're a private person.
I'm a great cook.
Now, do you know what kind of cook is coming to your house? Yeah, she's an experienced.
She's there. That's why he likes it.
His wife's there, though, too.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, that's what I'm saying. Right. It's a couple's thing. It's one of those things that married couples do. To prove that there's still fun in their marriage.
That's exciting.
What do you know about?
I'll let you know how that works out. What do you know about the cook? What do you know about the chef that's coming to your house? I've read a little about her. It's been a while. Her name is Robin Webb. I guess she's an experienced chef, and her specialties are Italian cooking, I think, primarily. But there are pictures of her? She has. There's a picture of her somewhere. She's a Paula Deen, probably.
Oh, okay.
If you want to compare.
I can't believe it, these guys.
I just have to wear a diaper.
How long does the serial killer, the cook, stay at your house?
3 hours.
Wow.
3 hours of lessons.
If it goes badly, can you excuse her before the 3 hours are up?
I suppose you could. It's
I'm
my
just
house.
Picturing both Buzz and Marcia, mm-hmm. you know, wearing
chef's outfits.
Wearing the chef's outfits.
The aprons, right?
The big chef's hat.
An apron right. and nothing else.
Buzz, right. really, you ought to come to the door in a robe. That would be a lot of fun. Wouldn't be the first time. Sure, I could do that.
So what happened with the excitement of the bingo?
Well, the way it was pitched to me is this was a big-time operation, a professional bingo company that sets up places that are, I guess, the bingo equivalent of casinos.
God, do you know how to live?
Yeah, I know. But I heard that the prizes were really good and that it was a lot of fun. That's how Steve Wynn got his start. From a younger person who'd done this before. His father ran bingo parlors.
A younger person.
So I thought, I'd give it a shot. You know, I was skeptical. But
everybody's a younger person to you.
Give it a shot. But the place was crowded. It was much like hens in a hen house, you know, in a mass production hen house. That's how closely
packed together.
So you didn't
people
go?
Were. So we ended up not playing. We showed up and we saw.
Oh, how, you hated it
how,
that much.
How packed it was, turned around and left.
Was it like swingers bingo or anything like?
No, but see, I would have stayed if that were the case.
Weren't
no,
they mainly senior citizens?
Bright, bright fluorescent lights and no, people of every age and color and
I would go to bingo. Background. I would go to bingo.
Bingo can be fun.
Big prizes, TV, big screen TVs, all that kind of stuff.
You've played bingo?
Yeah, you almost have to when you go on a cruise. And I think, have you ever gotten sucked into that on a cruise?
Yeah, but that's only because, like, you run out of things to do.
Right.
But where it's best is if you go to, like, a fire hall.
The fire halls have it in my town. They have it all the time.
Yeah, that would be better.
I think every Tuesday night they have bingo.
Watch out for the people that are really good at it, and they bring, like, their own marking pens. Mm-hmm.
Well, good at it? There is no good at it.
Well they play, like, 10 cards.
Now, listen, I do happen to know some senior citizens. Hi, Aunt Mildred, if you're out there listening. At Leisure World, I ask you not. My Aunt Mildred, a big Frida sister,
right,
lives at Leisure World.
And she plays constant bingo?
She plays in a regular bingo league.
A league?
And one year, a gift that we got for her for Christmas was, we had to go online to find it, a professional bingo stamp card thingy, mm-hmm. A thing that it's like a punch.
Marker pen.
Yeah, like, where you punch your number.
It makes a big blotch over your number.
It actually puts like a big star or or the letter B or whatever she wants.
Right.
So then rather, she plays so many hands of bingo at one time.
Tough.
Rather than mark it off, she just is like someone doing either pass or fail with a big.
So she just goes right down the line with a stamp.
Boom, boom, boom. And
I saw that movie loves it. With Sally Field and James Garner. They played bingo. Remember when they went to bingo? She was young, he was old.
Oh, that's right.
Murphy's Romance.
Murphy's Romance,
that's
right.
What it is.
Yeah, we're going to go to bingo night. You know how I like my shirts. We're going to go out there and play bingo, and then I'm going to try to climb on top of it.
What kind of facility was hosting the event, Buzz?
Like I said, this is a professional company. They have their own building. It's just a big square.
Is it like a standalone, like Knights of Columbus type building?
It stands alone in much the same way a bowling alley would. In fact, maybe in its day, maybe this building was that at one point. But really, it was just a very large room with bright fluorescent lighting. And then part of the room was partitioned off at the back behind glass for smokers. So you could go into a small enclosed area and smoke with a lot of other people.
Hello, Buzz.
And play bingo.
Welcome to bingo.
A little too crowded. I was skeptical to begin with. I was sort of glad that
they
it was
serve food or booze?
There isn't room for that.
How much do they charge per card?
Elbow to elbow. I have no idea. I didn't stay long enough to find out.
I anyway, thought it was very un-Buzz. You know, Buzz normally does
very
avant-garde stuff. Buzz will go to trendy restaurants. Buzz will
go to an art opening.
He will pretty much. He'll go to any opening.
Every opening he had.
Yes.
He'll try every new thing that's out there.
Right.
It just seemed very pedestrian.
This was new to me. I'd never tried it before. Somebody said it was great. I was willing to give it a shot. It didn't pan out.
Will you try again?
No, not under those circumstances. Someplace with a little more elbow room, maybe.
All right. Okay. Well, I like bingo.
Preferred bingo parlors.
Well, no. When Carl and I were up at the casino, the Indian casino, they had bingo. That's one of the big things, and it was sold out. We actually couldn't get in because it was sold out. We wanted to try some bingo. I'd try it. All ages, right?
Yeah, all ages.
All Everybody. Ages for bingo.
But you got to be smart.
Yeah, sure good at it.
Sure you
got to be good at it.
It is hard to play multiple.
It is?
Yeah.
Sure it is.
How is it hard to play multiple cards?
Because as they called out the numbers and letters rapid fire, you have to look at 4, 5, 6 cards.
You see people that are playing 10 cards? That's tough.
Okay.
Right. Like to see you try. Let's have a bingo contest.
Yeah. I'd play
Let's
you
go
in
sit
bingo.
In the smoking place. Play me in bingo.
I'll play you in bingo.
Cards each?
I'll kick your ass in bingo.
Do it on your own time, fellas. Go join Aunt Mildred.
Oh, we will.
At Leisure World.
I'll eat your fruitcake and play you in bingo.
And you loved it.
I enjoyed it. I have to say publicly that I had a piece of Rob's fruitcake over the weekend, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I really, really did.
Good.
Just a small piece.
I made 16 more this weekend.
And then Sunday morning I woke up and my butt was bleeding.
That's the nuts.
It was nasty.
And the glass.
Yeah.
That fake fruit, it was delicious.
Not unlike my doctor. I had to chop nuts all day yesterday.
Delicious.
You made them with your mommy, right?
I did. She came over and we cooked them up.
No, it was really, really good.
It's the cloves.
Best ever, yeah.
Do you discuss your vasectomy with your mom?
Oh, yeah.
How's she feel about it?
She can't contain herself.
Excited?
She's so excited.
Does she want to come?
Well, how do you mean? No, I'm
kidding. Oh, God, your mother.
Stop it. I know.
Jeez.
She's at the appointment, of course.
No, she can't. But her current husband has been through one. And so she nursed him from that. Actually, same doctor.
Really?
Yeah.
Why didn't I'm sure he that. Likes being referred to as current.
Well, her most recent.
Her current husband.
That's just
future ex.
That's just as good.
Her current husband.
Her most recent husband. No, she's fine with it. I mean, her question, I think, was what met a lot of people asked me is, are you sure you want to do it?
Uh-huh.
And I said, yeah. And she said, cool.
Right.
So
right.
She's okay with it.
And then you took steaming hot pizza and peeled your lower lip off.
I did. It's a great weight loss thing.
You had yourself a good time.
You know what? Don't eat hot pizza when you've had eight beers.
All right.
Had a good time with your hot mom.
All right, easy now.
Hey, you started it.
Yeah, but let's stop it.
You started it. I'll tell you something. We're not blood relatives.
I know that.
I know. That means I could date your mom.
Well, no, because she's married.
Right. But
she's currently married.
That's what you said. As soon as your mom's available, I could date her.
Which are you going to stand by, currently or most recent?
I'd like to choose both. And I'll throw in the third, future ex.
Your current most recent husband and future
your
ex.
Future ex-husband is doing very well.
You get along okay with him?
Oh, of course. He's great.
I'm not saying anything.
I know.
No one is.
I don't know why. I don't know why.
No, he is awesome.
I am kidding. Rob really likes that guy. There is one guy who, in Rob's family who he refers to as a big glass of just okay.
Let's move on.
I'm not going to say who that is.
Okay.
That's like a Twizzler type a riddle.
It is.
It's a mind bender.
A big glass of okay. That's
it's
all
a
he
Mad
says.
Lib.
Brain mm-hmm. teaser.
Someone in his family. But it's not his mom's current husband.
Current future ex.
Right.
Most recent
current future ex. That's like the Nazi, Our Lady of Nazi University of Useless.
Our Nazi Lady.
All right. Okay.
Get it right, Mike.
Right nope, on.
Yeah, sorry. I tried to commit it to memory all weekend.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
While Nicolas Sarkozy is in China, which of course is also trying to become a financial capital of the world, and in honor of his visit, the Chinese.
Remember, we played this tape last week.
I like this tape.
Of deals, there he is. I mean, who could not have imagined?
This is Aaron Burnett.
I'm not talking about the monkey either. I'm talking about the other one.
Yeah, exactly.
What?
The monkey?
CNBC.
What's she talking about?
Wait, monkey in the middle. All right.
I don't know. What's she talking about, Willie? You know, I think she's still jet lagged.
She's looking at a picture of President Bush.
Right. I know she's not talking
about
him.
Why are you talking about Angela Merkel like that? I don't understand. All right.
Yeah, she's attacking Merkel. She's our ally in a time of war. Yeah, listen, my dear, let me tell you something. When I'm jet lagged, I just take Ambien, some Tylenol PM, and I sleep it off, yeah. Okay?
It was my stop in Riyadh, and it just made me insane.
All right, so that was Friday.
Right.
And then here's today. Because you just can't say anything and goof around.
No.
Earlier this week, I was on MSNBC on Morning Joe, and I made a bad attempt at humor, Chris. I was talking about some world leaders. They did, of course, include our president. I said something stupid. I just want to make sure I apologize if I offended anyone. I do have the utmost respect for the president. I hope he has a great weekend. And, Chris, I hope you do, too.
Wow.
Rotten hell, you maggoty whore.
The Don and Mike Show.
Wow.
That bitch!
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
What do you think of us?
I can't believe it. These guys are fags. These kids are fags. I can't believe it. Down. God damn it, they're fags.
The home for tolerance. The Don and Mike Show.
You bet.
Oh, tell me about it. All right, here's what we got up. On the show, about an hour 15 from now, we'll be talking to, according to Guinness World Records, the world's biggest whore.
Wow. The biggest whore.
World's biggest whore. Oh. Not fattest.
What's his name? Hua.
A hua.
A hua.
World's biggest hua.
Is this a whore, like, without money or a whore that takes money?
A whore that takes money. Mm-hmm.
Prostitute?
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Okay. Also, maybe if we have time today, the Vibrator Olympics, we got all of the stuff with Larry King and Wayne Newton that we didn't get to.
Wonderful.
And I've just found out, that we do have a pair of Hannah Montana tickets.
The simply hottest ticket. in the last 10 years. This ticket is, I've been approached by more people that want Hannah Montana tickets.
Yep.
And I just found out from Mr. Geronimo that we have one pair to give away.
A pair. I guess it's for the DC show.
Must be.
Any idea from the back room? Robbie.
Yes. It is a pair of tickets to see Hannah Montana at the Verizon Center on January 7th.
January 7th, so that's the big show that's here in town, and it's a sold-out show.
And we'll throw in $1,000 as well.
Whoa.
Now, there's a lot of ways you can go on this. The standard way for DJs is to have parents come down and, I want to say humiliate each other. That's not the right word.
Like a battle of the parents?
Yeah, they've had battle of the sexes, and then they had who can hold on to a big, gigantic, blow-up Hannah Montana, like a, mascot.
A little cutout.
No, this was actually like one of those big,
like a blow-up and a Hannah Montana?
Blow-up Santa Claus thing.
Really?
That they had down in Tampa Bay.
Okay.
They've done promotions where it's like, who's the parent who can put their hand on this counter the longest.
Right, a little war of attrition.
All that stuff sucks.
Yeah.
We're going to go back to our roots.
Very good.
We have wanted to do a MILF strip trivia.
That's right.
From, you know, MILF, moms we'd like to F.
Befriend.
Mm-hmm.
No, that would be MILB.
You know, it's moms I'd like.
Yeah, it's a standard term.
Yes.
And God, we've not played strip trivia. It very well could be our last chance to ever play.
It could be.
Oh, my God.
The full-blown strip trivia. I thought the game was given up because, frankly, we'd run it into the ground like 5 years ago.
Well, you know, with strip trivia, it has always been about the prize.
Right.
And I got to think that we're going to get some MILFs. Seriously, no pigs allowed.
Yeah, we want hot women down here.
Hot moms.
That want to provide their kids with the hottest ticket in show business.
Now, this game, Strip Trivia, we've not played it for years. Real simple. We'll start maybe with 10 women.
10 women.
10 women.
It's a nice round number.
And each lady has 5 articles of clothing.
Right.
We ask them trivia questions from whatever it is.
The Trivial Pursuit, or Contemporary Edition.
Whatever the games are that we have that you buy in the stores now. And for every question you get wrong,
a clothing item falls to the floor.
An article of clothing. Right. And at the end of this, you have 9 women totally naked.
No DILFs, though.
No dads.
No, not this time.
No, absolutely not.
So we want 10 MILFs to compete for the only pair of Hannah Montana tickets that we have to give away.
That's right. It is a pair of tickets to Hannah Montana Verizon.
Are these not going on eBay for thousands of dollars? Yeah.
They
these
are.
Tickets?
Sure. Hannah Montana Verizon Center in D.C. January 7th. Our tickets are presented by SuperstarTickets.com.
Ah. SuperstarTickets.com.
They can find you any tickets to any sporting event or concert in the country. Buy your Christmas gift tickets now at SuperstarTickets.com.
If you are the mom that ends up with the most clothing, even if it's one item of clothing, you win. Really, these have gone for amazing amounts of money on the internet. It's truly amazing.
My point is that radio, in the state that it is now, you can't really do the gross-out thing anymore. Not that we'd want to do the gross-out thing.
Right.
But it really has become, parents, how far will you lower your own personal standards to win tickets for, in essence, this year's Cabbage Patch doll.
Right. And Hannah Montana is the hottest thing right now. It truly is. And I think that strip trivia is not lowering yourself. I think strip trivia is celebrating the spirit of competition, the spirit of trivial items, and also the spirit of nudity.
Are you put together? Are you nice?
Are you built like a brick house?
Right. No pigs allowed.
No, we don't. We want pig-free.
Only MILFs. I'm telling you, this is a hot prize. We can finally get this studio full of MILFs. Oh,
you won't accept
sweet
aunts.
MILFs.
You won't accept aunts.
No, just MILFs because they're doing it for
the kids.
For their daughters.
Doing it for the kids.
No,
doing it for the kids, Don.
Doing it for the MILFs.
So it's a MILF strip trivia for Hannah Montana tickets.
We're doing it for the MILFs. They're doing it for the kids.
And you're throwing some cash in on top of this?
$1,000.
Wow.
Now, let's see how fast ladies want to call.
Absolutely.
Very good, then.
I realize this is last minute.
Sure.
we don't have to do this tomorrow. Is tomorrow Tuesday?
It is.
What's the next day, Wednesday?
That's the day after Tuesday.
Oh. What's the day after that?
Thursday. That's the day we should do it.
Yeah. All right, maybe that day. Yeah. That'll give everybody plenty of time to get your affairs in order.
You know.
You know what I'm saying, ladies.
And it's a good chance to celebrate the season as well. It's really the holiday version of Strip Trivia.
And God knows, the last time we tried this, we even put it up on the website. We just had to give up because we had.
Well, we didn't have anything to offer.
We had one or two women call in, and then they said, "Oh, but I don't know how I feel about it.
I don't know if I want to. I don't like being called a MILF.
A MILF is, I think, one of the finest compliments you can refer to a mother as.
It's a term of endearment. Our phone number is 877-365-3636. Maybe you're one of these moms right now driving carpool in the afternoon. I hope, I pray right now that your daughter is pulling on your hair from the back seat, saying, "Mom, you've got a rocket body. Call them up. Mom, why do you do all those sit-ups? Why do you make your butt cheeks tight all the time? What's that exercise? The
Kegel.
The Kegel. Why do you do that all the time, Mom? Go ahead. Mom, I don't know how to tell you this. You got a killer set of jugs. I'm telling you. And you're smart. Mom.
You got to do it. Mom.
You could win me the Hannah Montana tickets, Mom.
You've got to do it. You got to do it right now. And I think of the MILF that is absolutely at her wit's end.
Yeah.
Trying to get tickets to this show, this sold-out show, going on the internet saying, that's thousands of dollars. I cannot pay for those tickets.
Right.
But there's one way. There is a way out.
But you should know, out of the 10 women, 9 of them will be absolutely as God brought them into this world.
Right.
Mm.
And you'll have the pleasure of playing the game because it's a wonderful way to meet other people.
It's a lot of fun. Everybody enjoys it.
It's a delightful way to meet other people. And it's camaraderie, especially during the holiday season. Mm-hmm.
So come on now. All you desperate housewives out there. And how maddening it must be to have a kid that's just driving you nuts.
Oh, because Hannah Montana is all the kids want to go see.
Right. And Hannah Montana is, my God, talk about flavor of the month.
Yes.
Right?
So Hannah Montana, a year from now, will not be a factor.
Right.
But right now, you're right. Cabbage Patch, Elmo, that's what Hannah Montana is.
She knows how to be in a flash in the pan. Her dad is Billy Ray Cyrus.
Of course. Well,
that's right.
He invented it.
He's rebuilt his career with her.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of things that we could do. I mean, I had a lot of thoughts. Like, you know, would you kill a family pet for these tickets? I mean, I'm sure they would.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we could get away with it.
Smaller family pet.
You know, especially now with the Michael Vick thing.
I would see a lot of fish.
I was thinking more like
a lot of fish losing their lives.
Goldfish down the toilet.
This is our goldfish Perry,
an iguana,
who will be taking a one-way trip to toilet.
No, that would do nothing but hurt the kids.
No, but see, Strip Trivia is such a celebration of life as well.
Everybody.
It's an affirmation is what it is, and it's terrific.
But you really got to be a hot MILF.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Seriously?
A turbo hot MILF and a smart MILF. Well, you don't even have to be smart. What am I saying? How foolish is that?
That part's up to you.
You can be dumb. You might get lucky.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Lucky and dumb. Hi, this is Lisa from Rockville.
Hello.
Hi there. Hello, Lisa. Hi. What can we do for you?
I guess I'm interested in the MILF contest to win tickets for the concert for my 8-year-old.
Okay. Now, do you understand the game that we play?
I do understand.
Uh-huh. You've familiarized yourself over the years with Strip Trivia?
Yes.
We got to know something. Who is the celebrity you think you most resemble?
Lately, because I think it's just because of my new glasses, they say, or the ones I sometimes wear, the girl on 30 Rock.
Tina Fey.
Oh, you're in.
I wish.
You are so in.
No liars, though.
Yeah, we don't want liars. Well, we get them anyway. But
please, no liars.
But you're in.
I can't think of her name, the actress. You know, Saturday Night Live.
Tina Fey. What is your first name, my darling?
Lisa?
Oh, and please don't bring the kids down.
No, no kids allowed.
Yeah. No, okay, this,
no,
is not
no
a,
this is not. This is
not
separate.
A daycare facility.
No, right. Can do.
In fact, you don't even have to tell your kids how you got the tickets. Just present the kids.
I'm not going to because I don't want to tell them and then lose. And...
No, not at all.
I would tell them.
But, you know, even if you lose, you'll have fun anyway.
It'll be freeing.
Should I say my age?
How old are you? Sure.
I've just turned 38.
Oh, yeah.
Bravo. We're applauding you right now.
I'm being very honest.
Yeah, well, that's good. Honesty is a good thing.
So are we.
You got any stretchies?
I'm a soccer player. I feel like I'm okay.
You got stretch markies?
But I've got my real boobs.
Oh.
Oh, fantastic.
What's happening there?
I need $1,000 so I can come back with the new boobs.
Ah.
Are you really a MILF?
My husband says I am.
Wonderful.
Okay, hold on a second.
You're in.
Sure, honey. Sure.
That's Lisa, contestant number one.
Sure.
Tina Fey. Fantastic.
And suddenly we have the catnip that makes all the pussycats come around.
You know what? It's all about the prize, isn't it?
The tickets.
It's having the right item. It's having the right item to lure the MILFs into our studio.
Golden tickets.
Hello there, Dawn and Mike show.
Hi, Dawn and Mike. This is Dawn. How are you?
Hi, Dawn.
Hi there. Are you a MILF?
I've been told I am. I hope so.
Good, good, good.
Mm-hmm. How old are you?
I'm 34, and I have a 6 and a 9-year-old.
And you are craving those Hannah Montana tickets.
Desperately.
Desperately well, is the key word.
Perfect. It would depend how desperately. Are you a MILF? Who's the celebrity that you think you most resemble?
I've been told, I think I'm a little bit prettier than her, but the girl who plays Chloe on 24.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, we had a disconnection.
Oh, no, no, stop.
I'm sorry, my finger.
I saw the airbrushed picture of Mary Jean Rice Cub.
Airbrushed.
Yes, airbrushed. Airbrushed.
How could you be prettier than that?
All right, listen, girls, figure this out. We'll do a stop set here. We'll come back and see if we can get the women together today.
Very good. Ladies, it's Hannah Montana. It's strip trivia. What could possibly make it any better?
But really, this can't be like before where we just get women and say, yes, 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 yes. Really, this must be a severe
selective process.
A very selective
process. An interrogation, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. And you heard, the standards are set very high.
No pigs.
Very, very high.
No Chloes.
No rice cup.
You don't want a Chloe?
No.
Would you take a Jodie Foster?
Sure.
You take a Jodie Foster over a Chloe?
Just for me? Huh. I'd take a Jodie Foster. I wouldn't take a chick who called and said she looked like that very nice lady that we had on from The Office on Friday.
Oh, Kate Flannery.
Kate Flannery.
The lady
she's every bit Irish.
Meredith on The Office. Uh-huh.
Lovely, you know, Meredith.
No, thanks. Actually, let's use The Office. That's a popular show.
All right.
About the only woman. There are two.
Yeah.
There would be Jan, uh-huh, Michael Scott's girlfriend.
Right.
And what's her name? The girlfriend of the goofy guy.
The receptionist.
Right.
At Dunder Mifflin.
Mike, what about the girl that Dwight is hot for?
Yeah, she'd be acceptable.
You think she'd be
She'd
okay?
be an acceptable MILF because she tones it down. But, I mean, the raw goods are right there.
What about some brown sugar?
Brown sugar, absolutely.
I'm all for it.
The girl on the office, the annoying one.
But the Indian girl?
She's the Indian girl. I don't think she constitutes pure brown sugar.
She couldn't be a MILF.
I know in your world.
She's brown in your
she's
eyes,
She's brown
Rob.
Sugar.
Yeah.
Oh, in your eyes, she's not brown.
She's not brown sugar. Brown sugar is an African American.
Nice. You see, you're always pigeonholing people.
Yeah, that's
Can't
what I do.
Can't you broaden? Can't
Not
you broaden?
Like you.
What makes a Nazi? How does he get that way?
Can't you broaden your views?
You ought to keep your big meat hooks off this thing.
How many times have I said, brown is brown.
What has brown done for you?
Okay, we'll see if any women are serious candidates for this. And we'll start the dissection of Larry with Wayne Newton.
Oh, good.
Wayne Newton. We hope we get a lot of women calling that are MILFs that want to go to Hannah Montana.
Yeah, tease that for you a little bit. Wayne Newton, cut number 6. Where he says he's not dying.
Are the tabloids overplaying this?
Unquestionably.
Let's clear it up. You're not dying.
I am not dying. If I do, you'll be the first to know.
Thank why? You, Wayne. Why? Larry says why.
Why? Because here's the deal, Larry. I'm not, and it's over-reported.
We're looking for MILFs.
If you would like to get that ticket to Hannah Montana for your special little one and take your clothes off at the same time and win $1,000, please call us now.
We got contenders or pretenders. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I need those tickets and $1,000.
Listen to you. You're desperate, aren't you?
Kind of.
Good.
Desperate enough to drop trial, yes.
Yes, that's what I like to hear.
Good. Spirit. Good. Who's the celebrity you think you most resemble?
Well, I was in a meeting last week, and the table of guys with whom I was sitting said Posh Spice, Victoria Beckham.
Hello.
Ooh, wow. That's nice.
Fantastic.
You have kids?
I do, 2, 7, and 8.
Hannah Montana demo.
Come to mama.
Come to mama.
Wow.
1 to 10, how hot are you?
9, maybe. 9.
Wow. Be confident. That's okay. Say that with authority.
Right. Where are you from?
I live in Annapolis.
Annapolis. So you'd make the drive. Are you smart, too?
Yeah, I was actually on a game show, but I'm not going to tell you which one.
Maybe when you get here, you can tell us.
I'll tell you when I get there.
All right.
All right, hold on there, hot stuff.
All right.
I'm not sure. Is she in or out?
She's in.
She's in?
Definitely in. Posh Spice? Posh Spice is fine.
We can be picky.
Yeah, we can, but we've got so far Tina Fey and Posh Spice.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
From 3 Mile.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, what are you doing?
Oh, this is the wrong gender. Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Bad no song. Balls, please. No generous.
No Hannah Montana tickets for me. Thanks.
No generous scrotums here.
You're welcome.
No faggot here.
Well, what are you calling
like
for?
Like hearing that. No faggot here.
I got it.
I Don, I want your Skins tickets for Thursday.
Well, I would give them to you, except I think faggot's an ugly word. Bye, know. Fag.
So long.
Faggot.
Bye. Faggot.
Right, Ann Coulter. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
What not?
Who is? WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, my dear, it's absurdly simple. It's no problem at all. Suppose your parents are unhappy. It's good for them. Develops their characters. Now look at me. I left home at the age of 4 and I haven't been back since. They hear me over the radio and that's enough for them.
The Don and Mike Show. The second greatest show on earth. The Don and Mike Program.
All right, now listen. Please note, I did this to the telephones. You see, look at the phones, Mike. You see them?
You X'd them all out.
They're all busied up. Because you would think that we are giving away, seriously, bricks of gold.
We are. People are getting a little passionate and desperate about this Hannah Montana thing.
I realize how quickly we gave away those first two slots.
Uh-huh. Do you think we were too easy on them?
Yeah.
You think we succumbed to that youthful enthusiasm that we always get when we play strip trivia?
What we got to do is stretch it out a little bit.
We really have to. Well, we are talking about MILFs.
So to speak. Mm-hmm. Those two ladies that we did accept.
Yes.
Yeah, we are going to accept them if they follow through.
Uh-huh.
But we had so many women calling during the commercial set.
Right.
And they all sounded just like this.
Right.
It was, you can't throw this on us at 10 till 5 on a Monday. We got to get our schedules together. It's not fair. What about the ladies that called now? What if they're not good looking? I'm really good looking. It's really not fair. I wanted to play the game for such a long time. What about all the people that are calling now? It's not fair to the people that might hear about it later.
Hey, look, we're going to play the game, okay? We're going to do it Thursday. Deal with it.
So tomorrow, we'll give out three spots.
Three
maybe
spots.
Maybe four.
To play strip trivia for Hannah Montana.
Right, we have 10 spots for you gals for Thursday's MILF strip trivia for Hannah Montana tickets at $1,000.
That's it. It's so that easy.
Like two ladies today, two or three or four tomorrow. Two or three the next day, and then the big show on Thursday.
Now, the first two ladies we got, the Tina Fey look-alike, and who was the other
posh
one?
Posh Spice.
The Posh Spice look-alike, they right. seemed trouble-free.
But
then all the troublemakers started calling.
Mm-hmm. And now we will take 10 fresh. We'll actually have 12.
10 fresh. Ah. It sounds like something you put in a baked good.
We'll take 10 brand-new fresh ladies.
This is a delicious bowl of 10 fresh.
Along with the two that we've already picked up because they were nice enough to call right away.
Yes.
Because really, we should let this sink in that this is not a typical radio contest where it's call in and you register and if you hear a song at a certain time and you're the 15th caller. No. This is for moms that really are willing to come in and get naked and prove they're smart while they win Hannah Montana tickets at $1,000.
Smart and naked, a good way to go through life.
Sure.
And those first two women, they do get credit for eagerness.
Yes, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi, I was hung up on by Don because I said I look like Chloe on 24. And
Can you see what we're talking about? Our desperation.
A lot of excitement
Joe,
out there.
That's just not even funny. But Joe found her purposely and said, hold on, put her on hold.
Uh-huh. I think Joe is a fan of Mary Elizabeth Jean
Rice Cub.
No, I think it was the last dead man walking back there that was.
Really? Oh, that's correct.
I believe
he
so,
liked
right?
her.
Norman!
In fact, he had a picture of her.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's right next to
you
this.
You wanted to play this, yes.
Although sometimes I thought this about John. But mainly, I thought this.
That's right. He liked her.
Safe home, Johnny. All right, so the phone lines, there you go, unbusied, okay?
Very good.
How do you unbusy them? There you go. Phones are now unbusied.
Uh-huh.
No more calls about this today, ladies.
Right.
We'll have something up on the front page of our website, DonnaMikeWebsite.com.
Calm down, ladies.
And we'll take at least 3 to 4 more tomorrow.
Very good.
And then more a couple of days after that.
I like it.
Okay. Woo! Now, on with the show.
Yeah.
Maybe you saw, did you get your Entertainment Weekly magazine with Will Smith on it?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
Hold on, let me just see something. There's all the lines are ringing. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi. I had called earlier and registered for strip trivia and for Thursday. I just want to make sure that I'm definitely in. Joe took down my name and number.
Oh, my goodness.
Is this Posh Spice or is this Tina Fey?
It's neither.
Well, we had celebrities you most resemble.
Oh, see, did you not get on the air?
No, I didn't get on the air.
Oh, see, yeah. This is, honey, you're going to have to start all over again. I apologize. I believe what Joe was doing was just saying to every woman that called.
Uh-huh. You're in.
Sure, you're in.
Yeah, okay, you're in. No problem. No, we have to screen a little bit more significantly.
And I can't fault Joe. Seriously, every line starts ringing like we are, like I said, like we're giving away sticks of gold.
May I ask the question, though, of her? Just since we've got her on the line here.
She's hung up.
She hung up.
She hung up.
I wanted to find out the celebrity she most resembled.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Mackenzie Phillips. Hey, yeah, this is Edgar.
Oh, ma'am.
Edgar's ghost. I was wondering why you're dissing Chloe.
Oh, Edgar. The ghost of Edgar.
Oh, remember? Edgar. I don't even remember what Edgar Styles sounded like, but I remember he had a horrible death.
Oh, he got that poisonous gas.
Yeah, and they had the room sealed off, and he stared at Chloe through the glass.
Remember his skin, like, started to bubble and stuff?
It was horrible. Horrible death. Edgar Styles.
Yeah, he sounded like a fat Polly Walnut.
That's right there, Chloe.
Hey there. Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hello.
Oh, bad cell phone.
Yeah.
Hey, Don and Mike. Hello.
Yeah, is it Don and Mike?
That's why we answered the phone that way.
Huh. Oh. Hey, I'm kind of curious as to why Mike's crap detector didn't go off. That girl that prefaced her saying that, well, since I got my new glasses, the first thing that popped in my head was Tina Fey. They got to know that, you know, they've mentioned on the air more than a few times that I think Tina Fey's hot. I bet you this chick shows up, she's probably like 300 pounds, doesn't look anything like Tina Fey.
My friend, we are going to put all of these women through a ringer of unbelievable interrogation.
But I should point out that ultimately it does come down to the honor system.
And we do appreciate the fact that she called lickety-split.
Eagerness.
Lickety-split.
That's right.
There's nothing wrong with eagerness in a woman.
But won't you guys be disappointed when she shows up and doesn't look anything like Tina Fey?
Listen, I say this to all the women. If you're a pig, we will lock the door on you.
And really, what is Tina Fey with 300 pounds? It's Kathy Najimy. And is that all that bad? Is that really all that bad?
We ask.
You give me a bag of flour?
I saw Tina Fey over the weekend on the Food Network with Paula Deen. Paula Deen doing the Christmas.
I just have to wear a diaper.
Christmas Iron Chef.
How could you tell them apart?
She was playing Christmas Iron Chef. Wow. Making fudge.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show.
Bet.
Hello.
Hi. I don't want to use my real name. This is Mrs. Spiewak, and I was wondering if I could bring my most recent husband to the Hannah Montana Show.
Are you being Rob's mom?
Yeah, that's who I am.
I think she's being Rob's wife.
I thought he was pretending to be Rob's mom. Yeah.
I don't think he
Oh,
knows.
That's right, the most recent husband.
She doesn't sound like that at all.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Mom.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Sharon.
Poorly played.
Yeah, I was wondering if I could kill a pet in order just to watch.
No. No, not allowed.
The whole kill a pet thing was a bad idea.
Yeah, see, because now guys are doing that would just kill a pet just for the sake of killing a pet.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I look like Bea Arthur. Can I play?
No, the old shoe cannot play.
See, here's the great thing, Mike. No guys.
Yes.
No guys.
This is going to be MILFs exclusively.
All MILFs. Okay, we're doing it Thursday. Mm-hmm. We'll have 3 more shots, maybe 4 tomorrow.
Good.
Get your stuff ready, ladies.
Very good. Now, I'm looking forward to it.
You know.
Get your junk ready, ladies.
Get your stuff together.
Right. Pull yourself together.
Yeah.
Wash your stuff.
Wash your stuff? Yeah. Before you come down here, you really want to thoroughly wash your stuff.
Scrub your stuff.
We will.
You want to be like, who was that referee? It was on SportsCenter this weekend. A college ref. He called some guy for holding.
Right.
And here's how he called it. He said, foul on number 87. He was giving him the business.
That's why he's a college ref. Not like the skilled professional refs that they have in the NFL.
Just giving him the business.
Give him the business, baby.
All right, so Entertainment Weekly has a new cover with Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And according to them, he is the smartest guy in Hollywood.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, are they basing this on career choices?
Overall choices, yeah.
Okay.
We have a bunch of tape of Will Smith talking about himself.
Oh, from 60 Minutes?
Yeah, third minutes. Yeah. Oh, my God, he's in love with
himself. He loves himself.
Conversely, excuse me, what about
I was going to say, and why not?
Conversely, the Daily News, God bless the Daily News, has the list of the 50 dumbest people in Hollywood.
The dumbest people in Hollywood. Now, these are actors, directors, everybody?
Yes, all of them.
Okay.
Of course, you got to know, Lindsay Lohan's number one.
But she's gotten herself more together than Britney.
Yeah.
I would put her smarter than Britney.
Mm-hmm.
She is dumb because of poor movie choices, bad behavior, and she has bad taste in men.
And bad breath.
The number two dumbest person in Hollywood is Kim Kardashian. Oh, yeah.
That's I've got a picture of her right here, as a matter of fact. I haven't really hold on to this.
It's bad when you leak your sex tape and nobody cares.
Yeah, that is sad.
Then you have somebody named Heidi Montag.
I just thought I'd bring out this picture of Kim Kardashian for you. Doesn't she look dumb?
She does.
She looks very dumb. She?
Yeah, but look at her stuff.
She's pushing her left boob up in that picture, isn't she?
She is supporting it a little bit.
That's not dumb.
She's showing off her stuff. That's Kim Kardashian. Stuff.
Ain't that typical Playboy, though?
Yeah, it's airbrushed.
You don't see anything.
There she is. There's more of her stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you know what?
Yeah.
Up there.
Dumb! Dumb, dumb, dumb.
You think so?
Big dummy. Dummy!
Heidi. Oh, Fred J. Fred J. Sanford.
Yeah. Hey, Kim Kardashian, you big dummy.
Heidi Montag, reality TV star.
I don't even know who she is.
She's so dumb.
Jess Simpson.
Jessica Simpson, kind of a professional dumb girl.
Right.
Making the top 10, Kiefer Sutherland.
Because he drunk. All because he got drunk and jumped into the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Right. Here's somebody made the list. Really no reason. Rumor Willis.
Rumor Willis.
I'm sorry, Rumor.
Rumor. Yeah.
Or as she's referred to on certain websites, Pumpkinhead.
Excuse me, it's spelled R-U-M-E-R. That's why I spelled it. I knew it was Rumor.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Didn't know that's how to pronounce it.
Rumor Willis and her lantern jaw.
She is only, she's on the dumb list just because she's the daughter of two very famous dumb people.
That's right, Bruce Willis, Demi Moore.
Wow.
Rumor Willis and, she's got a very unusually shaped head as well.
Like Jay Leno.
Mm-hmm.
And these lists are always so subjective. How could Britney Spears be the 14th dumbest person in Hollywood?
No, that's not right at all.
Brad Garrett is right behind her.
Uh-huh. Now, is that because Brad Garrett gets mad at the paparazzi and knocks
paparazzi,
the cameras?
Paparazzi hater.
That's true.
All right, then you have...
That's right, Raymond. Please keep the camera away from my head.
Michael Jackson is number 19.
I would have put him higher up on the
dumbest
list.
Dumbest people in Hollywood. Mel Gibson is number 24.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Sheen. Yeah, he would be a candidate for top 10 with me.
Hey, but isn't he winning his battle with Denise Williams? Isn't he winning that battle of dumb celebrities?
But isn't he losing the battle of his life every day?
Let's look at Charlie Sheen. He's on a hit television show.
Uh-huh.
He's the one that's employed. Denise, is it Denise Richards?
Yeah,
right.
Not
fair,
Denise Williams, it's right. Denise Richards.
To be fair, Charlie Sheen is number 28. Denise Richards is number 29.
Now, that is fair.
Okay.
Now, how can you say a guy that takes his wedding portrait in front of his kids, writes the word mistake on it, how can you call that man stupid?
Not stupid at all.
No, bright guy. Smart fella.
And dated porn stars.
Yes.
Got Steve-O on this list.
Well, Steve-O's classic dumb.
See, he's not dumb. He's smart dumb.
I do like that commercial, though, where they bury him in the sand.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole Richie's on this list.
Right.
K-Fed.
Yeah, these are the classic, this is a list with the people that are in the spotlight all the time.
Number 40, Scott Baio.
Well, sure.
Well, he's got the reality show, that dumb reality show about him not wanting to get married.
And let's see, you got Russell Crowe as being a dumb guy at 43.
Once again, people that involve themselves in the incidents.
Number 43, right, for throwing a phone.
Right.
David Hasselhoff says life is a disaster.
I think.
Number 48.
This is a mess.
This one is really going to surprise you, guy. This guy will surprise you, Mike. The guy at number 50 is a guy that we would have in the top five guaranteed. Mr. Wizinator, Tom Sizemore.
Tom Sizemore should definitely be in the top five.
Right?
This, I mean, you want to talk about a guy. You know, you can look at Charlie Sheen, but Charlie Sheen still has it going on in Hollywood. He still has a decent career. Tom Sizemore, I believe, is currently incarcerated and will be for a long time because every time he gets out, he violates his probation again.
And then when he has to go pee into a jar, he brings the Wizinator with him.
And even when he goes and does his movies, you go look at the movies that he's been in, he plays the dumb sergeant.
Yeah.
Always the tough guy, dumb sergeant.
And don't forget, he made his own porn tape.
Yeah, we looked at it.
Yeah, good-looking guy.
Uh-huh. Lovely
what
man.
Else did he do?
He hung out with Heidi Fleiss. He dated Heidi Fleiss.
Didn't he beat up chicks, too?
I think it was alleged, yeah.
He was involved in the narcotic that he chose, his narcotic of choice,
right.
Crystal meth.
That's right.
He was a crystal meth addict.
How could you possibly have Tom Sizemore as the 50th dumbest guy in Hollywood?
No, I think Tom Sizemore could fight with Britney for the top spot.
If it was a list of the 50 dumbest people on Earth,
right.
Tom Sizemore would be a finalist for that list.
Tom Sizemore made his own pornography, addicted to crystal meth, has been in and out of prison, dated the Hollywood madam, right. Heidi Fleiss. I mean, that's that. Tom Sizemore has made a series of stupid mistakes.
Had to go to court to give a drug test and pulled out a fake penis that was full of someone else's urine.
And that resulted in sales of that fabulous item, the Wizinator, to other people without Tom Sizemore realizing the profits. Very dumb.
Very dumb, Tom.
Very, very dumb guy. But he did make some good movies. I loved him in Saving Private Ryan.
He was good in that movie.
He was great in that movie. He's the throwback to the 1940s. Hey, we're going to storm that wall. Come on, get your act together.
He's also very good in an HBO, made-for-HBO movie about the Witness Protection Program.
Oh, really?
You ever seen that? Where
no, I have not.
It's with Forrest Whitaker is the guy who is the FBI agent that brings him into Witness Protection.
You know, you mentioned Forrest Whitaker. You know, it was on over the weekend. Again.
What?
And I watched it again in what? Its entirety, the whole thing. I
Crazy Eye?
No, Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh.
And you forgot that he plays the football player where Spicoli wrecks his car.
Oh, sure, right.
Oh, it's a great scene. I think that's really Forrest Whitaker's first movie that he was in.
I think so.
Boy, that movie does hold up.
Sure
that
does.
Movie holds up 100%.
You know what I ran into, I guess, a couple of weeks ago was the Last King of Scotland.
Oh, he's fantastic. He's scary in that.
Really good. Mm-hmm. Really, really good.
It's a terrific movie.
Reminded me a little bit of when Robert the Mailman gets mad.
Yeah, but Robert the Mailman, I don't think he'd put hooks on our skin and hang us from the ceiling.
I think Robert the Mailman could wear those outfits, those Edie. I mean, what's that like?
You know, I'm thinking perhaps we get Robert the Angry Mailman an Edie I'm In outfit.
What was that light that just was flashing in the corner?
I didn't see one.
You saw it too, didn't you?
Yeah, I saw something, but I was actually turning to look at Robert the Angry
oh, okay.
Mailman.
Right.
And the light that's upstairs is just the lady on the eighth floor. Mm-hmm. She's home. She's home
dressing.
Once again.
She's back.
She dressing right now?
Let me just take a look, because the light, I have a bird's eye view right
Let us know.
No, no activity right now.
All
right. Very, very, very quiet. We speculated before that she was cleaning the apartment. That's all we got today.
There is a single woman. I don't mean, who knows if you're single, but there is a woman who is in the apartment building next to our radio station, and we like watching her.
Well, the strategy is really that you walk further away from the building, because if you walk further away from the building, you just lift your eyes up. Now, if you're closer to the building, of course, you have to crane your neck, and craning your neck is a dead giveaway.
Yes.
And Joe hit me to the fact that I think she's cleaning her condo.
Cleaning her stuff.
I said, Joe, back off a little bit. Just step away so you can just use your eyes.
Forget it,
Friday night, or was it? It might have been the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I think she was going out for a little evening.
Uh-huh. It's very much like the movie Rear Window.
Yes, it is.
If you've ever seen the original with Jimmy Stewart, where he's sitting sure. there and the chick is dancing around in her underwear.
I think some night we're going to see something horrible. Which floor is it? Get over there right now. Well, you know,
or something
between the crows and the woman. We are highly entertained out here, out in front of the building. It's all we have to look at.
So listen, ladies, about this strip trivia for the Hannah Montana and the $1,000, MILFs only. We're playing the game on Thursday. You want to be a part of it. You want to call the show tomorrow. You want to shoot us an email. We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
What about the vagina?
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Will Smith, how hard is it coming up with all those great movies?
We got the top 10 movies of all time, and we realized that 10 out of 10 were special effects movies. 9 out of 10 were special effects movies with creatures. And 8 out of 10 were special effects movies with creatures and a love story. So Independence Day and Men in Black were really no-brainers. The Don
and Mike okay. Show is here and
I like it. I had a hit single on the radio for 30 days before I graduated from high school. And that's dangerous. You don't want to have a hit record on the radio when you're in high school.
Dangerous in
what? It just seemed easy.
So that was when you were 18?
18, yeah.
Where were you at 19?
The tide turned somewhat at 19. The IRS came and took all my stuff. They were talking about I didn't send them no money, you know. And I just didn't think it didn't need to be such a big issue. So,
how much did they want?
It's like 2.8 or something like that.
How much did you have?
I had $2.83.
Oh, well.
So successful.
You went through $5-6 million?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, well, at least he's humble about it, right?
Yeah, very humble.
Idiots, because they choose to be. Don and Mike.
Is the Will Smith swimming in Lake Mead.
And it didn't matter because he's so incredibly successful now.
You know who else is smart and successful?
Who?
Hi, Joe!
None more successful. A multi-business entrepreneur.
Right.
Joe spelled Hannah. H-A-N-N-A.
Very close.
Hana.
Hana.
He turned it into something Islamic.
Hana Montana.
He would have spelled it right if it had been part of one of his harebrained get-rich-quick schemes.
Rob, you got to write this stuff for him on the website.
I don't know. I think it's kind of cute.
It says, Don and Mike have Hana Montana tickets. There's a picture of Hana.
Did he spell Montana correctly?
Yes. It says, hey, Hana, or hey, MILFs. Only you can win Hana Montana tickets for your kids from Don and Mike.
Hello, I would like to speak with Hana Montana.
You just have to play a little game for them.
For them.
Exclamation point. It's MILF strip trivia.
Is Joe still in the RIF program? Or is that program over now?
Reading is fundamental.
Reading is fundamental.
Still around.
Send us an email to email@donandmikewebsite.com with your phone number and email address and maybe a little bit how hot you are and ..
Well, okay, I didn't think we were accepting.
Hi, Joe!
On this particular flight, I didn't think we were accepting email applications.
No, but I did say you could shoot us an email and we might call you back if you had a really
compelling,
good story.
A good resume.
Perhaps a picture.
If you're hot as balls. Now, listen, Joe said that, too, and I think that's dangerous because who knows what picture these women could be sending us.
Right. It could be like the phone sex line.
Here's the bard.
A picture and a paragraph.
The legendary bard.
Hello, Hana.
If you click on where it says to click, it gives you the rest of the details.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me click on more.
And refresh, and I believe Hana will be spelled correctly.
Let me see.
Hana Montana.
Oh, and the winner also gets $1,000.
That's the detail?
You got to go to the second page for that.
Ah.
Right? Just for that? That's all you added.
Hey, you know what? Really, if you're confused on the punctuation, just use dots. Mm-hmm. Dots can replace any punctuation.
You know it's really smart?
What?
When you have a website, this is for us, which is really smart, and you have the ads by Google, and on the top of our webpage, we got a big Google banner ad for Sirius.
Hey, their money's green.
That's right.
Just like anybody else.
Absolutely. All right, ladies. Hana. Montana.
Hana. Hana.
All right, strip trivia information on our website.
Very good.
You know something we did not do last week that we've wanted to do ever since the Packers came back into the national spotlight,
right,
was to call the bars of Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
We love calling as Vince Lombardi,
right,
just to see how Packer fans are doing.
How you doing there, Packer fans?
As you know, Packer fans, I don't call us Packer Nation.
No.
Just Packer fans are concerned about Brett.
That's because Packer Nation would be stealing. Nation has already been taken.
Mm-hmm. It was stolen by the Red Sox. Because the Raiders came up with it foist.
Did they really?
I swear to Christ, there was something called Raider Nation long before there was any other nation.
But the Red Sox fans made it stick.
Did they make it their own, dog?
They did.
No one can take that away from them.
Raider Nation.
I'm telling you, that's where it started.
Yeah, you're right. Raider Nation.
Anyway, so Packer fans
are concerned about Brett.
Sure.
Well, Packers have Packer backers.
And Packer tractors.
The Packer tractor for only, well, at least it was 5 years ago, $30,000.
Now, there are so many different bars in Green Bay right by the stadium.
Well, what else is there to do up there? It's cold. They want to, you know, root for the Packers and drink.
Mm-hmm. All of them with names like, there's one that's called just The Sports Bar.
The Sports Bar.
And there's another one called Sports Corner.
Sports Corner. That's a new one. That's a newfangled gimmicky name.
Anduzzi's Sports Club.
Mm-hmm.
Sports Stadium View.
Hey, what did you say? Did you say it's Anduzzi's?
Anduzzi's Sports Club.
A-N-D-U-Z-Z-I?
Yes, sir. Wow.
We should call and ask. I'd like to speak to Tony Anduzzi, please.
I'm guessing, Vince.
Yes?
That if the last letter of a person's name is A-E-I-O-U, they're Italian.
Let's That's get our right. Christ on. Let's kick it Jesus style. Y'all want to walk with the ultimate rebel?
Jesus.
Right? The ultimate CEO?
Jesus.
Biggest celebrity of them all?
Jesus.
Who's down with G-O-D?
I am, but Jesus, what a game. Fav, pulling himself out? Why? Because his fingers tingled? What the hell's that about? I'm disappointed. Marie, I'd like another black coffee, please.
Who are you?
This is the ghost of Vince Lombardi.
Scared kids?
I'd like to speak to Tony Anduzzi, please.
Hi, Anduzzi's. Hi, this is the Don and Mike radio show. Do you have a second to come on the radio with us to talk about the Green Bay Packers?
I don't know anything.
Oh, would you mind coming on the air with us for a second?
It doesn't matter. You'll have fun.
Oh, no. Hold on. I'll get somebody on that knows something.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
There's the accent. Right there. What kind of accent is that? I don't believe in accents.
Scared kids?
Woo! Hope this isn't the beginning of the end, Packer fans.
Hey, Mike.
Packer backers.
I'm going to be somebody else. I'm Max McGee.
Hey, Max.
I just fell off my roof.
Would you ever pull yourself out of a game because your fingers tingled?
Never, Vince.
Numbness. You know what numbness was? Frostbite. We had the whole team on the frozen tundra with frostbite. Would they pull themselves out of the game, Max?
No, Coach.
Not a chance.
Coach.
Yeah.
I like your wife beater.
Thank you very much. Marie gave this to me. Every Christmas, like it or not, 14 undershirts. Just like the one I'm wearing.
You want a cigarette, Coach?
I'd like a cigarette and my trench coat, please.
Sure.
But we should remind ourselves that the important thing... Hello?
They just hung up on us.
Oh, no.
Hey, Anduzzi. I got your Anduzzi right here. Look what I'm gripping.
All right, hold on a second.
Time to call another Packer bar.
Stadium Sports View.
I should point out that when you call bars in Green Bay, the most important thing is to pay attention to the task at hand. First off, you want to ask the fans how they're feeling after the recent defeat. Then you want to say what they think their chances are for the upcoming games. Who's on our schedule, Max? Who do we have next in line? Who's the next sufferer? McGee, I'm talking to you. Quit your laughing. If more Packers took it seriously, they wouldn't be laughing hysterically. Jesus. I got a corn that's killing me. I'm going to slice. Give me a penknife. I'm going to slice a hole in my loafer.
It's called the sports bar on Holmgren Way.
Paul Holmgren. That guy's a fag.
Mike Holmgren.
Mike Holmgren. That's right. It's Paul Horning. Mike Holmgren. Max McGee, Forrest Gregg. God, I tell you, last night, Marie's cacciatore. Jesus.
Hold the bar.
Hi there. This is the Don and Mike Show in Washington, D.C. and on the air throughout the nation. Hello, Green Bay Packers fans. You got a second to talk to us on the radio?
Yeah, hang on. Let me switch to a different phone. Hang on.
Great. Thank you.
Ask him if he'd like to speak with the ghost of Vince Lombardi.
I shall.
And his total disappointment at their Thursday performance.
I shall.
Candy ass, pulling himself out of the game. Oh, my elbow hurts. I swear to God. If Bart Starr had a double amputation, we'd sew it back together and put him back on the field.
Hey, Ghost of Vince, let
Ooh,
me ask...
Ooh, look at me floating around your studio, Don.
Let me ask you a question, transparent Vince.
Woo!
Would you have called two timeouts in a row at the end of a game like Joe Gibbs did?
You mean to ice the kicker?
All right.
Hey. Yes. Hi, this is the Don and Mike Show, and... we're big Packer fans.
Okay.
And we have a feature on our show where we channel former Packer greats And we were wondering if you or anyone in your bar wanted to talk about the game Thursday night and about Brett's injury and maybe channel someone with us. It'd be fine if it was you. Are you a Packer fan?
Oh, yeah.
What's your name, my friend?
My name's Shannon.
Shannon? Ooh. As in Shannon Sharp.
Close enough. That works, yeah.
Close enough. My name's Don, lifelong Packer fan, wearing a Packer sweatshirt right now.
Whoa!
Wearing Packer socks. Hold on.
Awesome.
Whoa!
Hold on. I feel something.
Whoa, it's me. You know who you're speaking with, Packer fan?
Who's that?
Oh, God, I don't know. Who is it?
I'm the ghost of Vince Lombardi.
Oh.
What'd you think of their performance, Packer fan? Mighty disappointing, eh?
Yeah, it was.
You know why it was?
Why?
They didn't apply themselves to the task at hand, which is winning a football game against the Dallas Cowboys, against Tony Romo. I was disappointed and disgraced by the Packers. What do you have to say to that? Woo, Packer fan.
The ghost.
Oh, laughing. I tell you,
disgraced.
There are a lot of people laughing. Let me tell you my philosophy of coaching. I always thought that laughter was the key to a losing season. And there's too much smiling going on in Packerland right now. I don't care that you've got a good record. Your record right now is totally insignificant. Do you understand me?
No, not really, because they're in first place.
All right, I don't care if you don't understand me. Repeat after me, Packer fan. I'm going to give you the drill. Are you ready?
All
Ooh.
Right. Ooh.
Repeat
Ooh.
After me. I, as a Packer fan.
I, as a Packer fan.
Will not tolerate.
Will not tolerate.
Nor accept.
Nor accept.
Anything but the maximum effort.
Anything but the maximum effort.
To be given each and every day leading up to the game.
To be given each and every day leading up to the
game. And most importantly of all.
And most importantly of all.
On game day.
On game day.
There will be no taking myself out of a game.
There will be no taking myself out of the
there
game.
There will be no my fingers are tingling.
There will be no my fingers are tingling.
There will be one thing and one thing only.
There will be one thing and one thing only.
And that is victory.
And that is victory.
And now you got to tell them. There
Woo!
You go.
Woo!
Hey, Ghost Vince, you got to say, gentlemen, there are three things in your life important to you. There's your family, there's your religion, and the Green Bay Packers. Not necessarily in that order.
That's right, because you know what the proper order is. What comes first? What comes first in that equation?
Well, right now, the Packers.
The Packers! You're a smart young man. What's your name? I'm going to ask for your name. You're no longer going to be referred to simply as Packer fan.
Shannon.
Shannon, that's right. We got that name before.
Yes, you
that's
did.
That's a girl's name, but I'll ignore that fact. Why do kids... There's Frank and Tony and Bert. Why do people have to name kids Shannon? I don't understand. Do you have a middle name that I could give you, Packer fan?
Thomas.
Tom. Tommy. How about Tommy?
Okay, Tommy.
I'll call you Tommy. Tommy, there's one thing you should know. In a Lombardi administration, woo.
Scared, kid.
In a Lombardi administration, we do not tolerate anything but the ultimate in hard work. You understand me?
I understand.
That's Hold right. on, I'm getting a flashback, Vince.
Woo!
Vince, I'm getting a flashback.
I've never really viewed myself as...
Oh, hold on, that's the wrong flashback.
That's Will Smith, candy
ass. I would say
ass.
The first year, I doubt there will be a letdown. Really.
No.
Because I really think there's going to be a great deal of pride in the National Football League champion. There's going to be a great deal of pride in the American Football League champion.
Champion. And that's the way you say it, incidentally.
I know it's going to be scary.
It's champion. Tommy. Tommy, I'm speaking to you.
I'm listening.
There's that laughter again. If you see a Packer fan during the next week before the game doing anything, laughing, smiling, doing anything but thinking about Packer football and the ultimate victory and our trip to the Super Bowl, smack him upside of the head.
I will do that.
This is really going to be scary. I'm not kidding you this time.
Are you ready for your ultimate test? Are you ready, Tommy? Tommy Packer fan?
Bring it.
This is the ghost of Vince Lombardi.
Bring it.
Bring it.
Are you wearing? Are you wearing an undershirt right now?
Yes, I am.
What kind of undershirt?
It's actually a Packer one.
A Packer undershirt.
That's got to be the right
That's
answer.
Acceptable. Yeah. I'm clapping my ghost-like hands. Now, let me ask you, does it have regular sleeves that are like short sleeves that come halfway down the bicep?
Short sleeve.
What I want you to do now is I want you to cut those sleeves off, and I want you to turn that Packer t-shirt into a tank top. A wife beater. You understand what I'm talking about?
I understand.
That's right. Now, what kind of slacks are you wearing? Are you wearing denim?
Khakis.
Khakis acceptable. Khakis are acceptable, but I think every Packer fan should wear wool dress pants to every game like I did. None of these dungarees that the kids wear. It makes me sick to my stomach. You understand me, Tommy Packer fan?
Yes, I do.
Are you disappointed about the recent loss?
Yes, I am.
What are we going to do to come back strong?
They're going to come back and kill Oakland.
Kill is a strong word that's against my Catholic faith.
Well,
I don't care for that.
Killing. severely beat them
Tommy
down.
Pakafan, use the word destroy. That's what I used to say.
Destroy.
The key is to destroy the opposition.
They're going to destroy the Raiders.
That's right, the Raiders. The Raiders don't have a chance against the Packers. You know why?
Why?
Do you know why, Tommy Pakafan? Because I won't let any candy-ass quarterback, no matter how big his head's gotten, pull himself out of a game because he's got a hangnail. Do you understand me?
Yes, I do.
Woo!
All right. It's been good talking to you, Tommy Pakafan.
Go, Pack, go. All right,
go,
Tommy
Pack,
Pakafan.
Exactly.
You know who you spoke with today?
The ghost of Vince Lombardi.
There you go. Right. Never forget it. Woo! And happy
this
Halloween.
This is really going to be scary. I'm not kidding you this time.
Take care, Pakafan.
No problem.
That's right. And make Brett shave, for God's sakes.
Make Brett what?
A three-day growth of beard does not belong on a Packers football team. I want clean-shaven short haircuts, and I want faces to be smooth and clean with Aqua Velva splashed on afterwards, even if they're playing in the game. And if you have to go during the game, I always recommend urinating in the pants.
I'll tell Donald Driver to give him the message.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Tommy Pakafan.
Thank you, Tommy.
Woo!
Woo! You are at the bar on Holmgren Way, right?
Yep. We're getting ready for the Donald Driver show, in fact.
Why don't I suggest you go to the bar on Lombardi Way? There is a Lombardi Way, am I correct?
Lombardi,
Tommy Pakafan?
Lombardi Avenue.
Lombardi Avenue, that's
of
right.
Course.
They don't give me a way, they give me an avenue, a broad street with many lanes. Is that right, Tommy?
That works for me.
That's right. And what was my wife's name?
Ingrid.
No, wrong. Marie. It was Marie Lombardi. Marie Lombardi, my child bride, who made a mean chicken cacciatore.
Ah, all right.
That's long before I died of the cancer.
And poor Max.
Max McGee.
Max,
how come you weren't there to catch him, Vince?
I'm terribly sorry that he fell down, but sometimes it's important. When a man falls down in the heat of battle, you should be there as a teammate and comrade to pick him up. It's very it's very important for all teammates and all coaches to remember that men are men, and men should act like men, and men should be men and pick each other up in times of need and strife. Do you serve liver at your restaurant?
Do we serve what?
Do they serve liver at your sports pub?
Liver.
Liver? No, they don't.
Well, God damn it, and excuse my French. I'm going to go to hell for saying that, but they should have liver and onions at every single bar in Green Bay. Do you understand, Tommy?
I understand.
And what's your name henceforth?
Pardon me?
Your name will be Tommy. Tommy Sports Fan. Do you understand? Tommy Packer Fan.
Tommy Packer Fan.
Put
yes,
that
I
girl's
do.
Name, Shannon, and put it away in your pink backpack.
Thank you, Tommy.
I will do that.
All right, so long.
Let's go Packers.
Go Pack.
Go Pack, go.
Go Pack.
All right.
All right, dude. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Hang the phone up now.
Where are you guys located?
We're loaded from heaven. That's where I'm calling you from.
All right.
I know it's going to be scary.
Scary. I am the ghost of Vince Lombardi.
The mercurial and brilliant head coach, Vince Lombardi.
There you are. Mercurial. I don't know what it means, but it's a good word.
The mercurial and brilliant head coach, Vince Lombardi.
That's right. That's the problem with all Packer fans. Huh? Too many candy asses.
The mercurial and brilliant head coach, Vince Lombardi.
Your fingers.
Green Bay to greatness.
If your fingers tingle, cut them off. Cut them off at the third knuckle.
Oh, we gotta go. Thank
it's you. Time to run.
Tommy, thank you.
Take care, Tommy.
All right, see ya.
Bye-bye.
We do have scheduled next the world's biggest whore.
What are you talking about?
Next on our radio show.
A whore? Like a prostitute?
That's right.
That's a sin. That's a bad sin. That's a mortal sin. And you're going to hell for it.
Bye, Tommy.
Don't talk to her. Hey, Tommy.
Yeah?
Hang up the phone.
I don't want to.
You gotta hang it up now.
It's not every day I get to talk to Vince.
Here you go. If you hang up the phone, I will buy you a glass of milk. You're laughing. You're all laughing. Well, you know what? You're all candy asses.
Under Lombardi, the Packers were the most dominant team of their era.
That's right, because I didn't take any guff. No guff from my players.
All right, tell this guy to hang up. We got to go, Vince.
Tommy, put on a shirt and tie, hang up the phone, and go away right now.
Goodbye, my friend.
Fine, be that way.
Okay,
there he goes.
Bye-bye.
Bye!
Be that way, yes. Tommy. Young, soft. That's what's problem with the kids today.
We'll talk to a whore.
Jesus, that's a sin.
We'll come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
That was funny.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It's another great day for drugs. The sun is shining bright. So pass the bong and let's all get high.
Hi.
It's another great day for drugs. It's raining hard outside. So pour the beer and pass the bong and let's all get high.
Hi.
It's It's another great day for drugs. My girlfriend's cat just died. So eat some shrooms and pour the beer and pass the bong and let's all get high. It's another great day for drugs. The cops keep driving by. So snort a line and eat some shrooms and pour the beer and pass the bong and let's all get high. Loving you is very nice, but not as nice as drugs.
Oh. The Don and Mike Show.
That was just wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
You're awful funny, aren't you?
Tied forever at the kneecaps. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Come on, come on, come on.
All right, now.
Touch me, babe.
Time to talk to the whore of the year.
I love this.
As recognized by the Guinness Book of World Records.
I can't wait to find out how she got that title.
Are you ready?
I've got my suspicions.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hey, John Madden here.
Mike, of course, who's our favorite whore? It's TV's Frank Caliendo.
Frank Caliendo.
And Frank.
Oh, yeah, I got turned it into a science.
Frank is such a whore. He not only comes on this show, he goes on every single show on radio now. God bless him. His show, Frank TV, is on, is it tomorrow night again, Frank?
Yeah, tomorrow, 11 Eastern, 10 Central. That's a whore.
On TBS, and he called up Robbie and just wanted the chance
to promote that.
To whore the show a little bit.
Well, go ahead, whore away, Frank.
And we're all about you, Frank, so whore it good.
Oh, it's an amazing show, guys.
Frank, what is amazing about it?
The me part of it. The Frank part, the Frank and Frank TV. The rest of TV is just TV. This is Frank. Hold on, I'm going to throw up.
How was the first episode received?
Very well. About 5-1, good to bad, which to me is fantastic. And it got some critical goodness and set records for late night cable. Cool. So. You know, I mean, the records were only like four people before that, but we hit 3 million people, right around 3 million people the first night, and that's huge.
That's a big number, big number.
And you are Mr. TBS now.
I'm up there. It's me here, as Rob was saying off the phone, the King of Queens reruns.
Yeah. and Tyler Perry.
Yeah, Tyler Perry.
And I'm still old enough to remember when TBS was only famous for starting all their shows at 5 minutes after the hour.
That was the Ted Turner trick that he did at the beginning.
That's right, to fool you.
I forgot about it. And then all the Saved by the Bell reruns.
Yes, so
wow. You know what? They're actually changing the name of Tyler Perry's show to Tyler Perry's House of Frank.
Hey, perfect. Well, yeah. What you have to do, Frank, is what Tyler Perry does. Like, I mean, I know it's Frank TV, but it should be Frank Caliendo presents Frank TV. Just like Tyler Perry, to get the name out there.
That would be overly piggish of me. I'm piggish.
No, what's overly piggish is calling Rob and saying, hey, can you guys get me on in prime time today so I can whore out the show a little bit? No problem. Love doing it for you, Frank. Really, we love doing it for you.
What I should do is start asking for 4 o'clock, early 4, because then I'll get in at about 5:15.
You are working.
Honestly, I don't care, because the fact that you guys, I don't know anybody else who you guys will talk to this much. I am just in awe that I have the chance. You know what I mean?
We are desperate. You should know that come on, we are. Prime time on this show is virtually any time.
Yes, Frank. Yes, from the beginning to the end,
right,
always.
That's right. From the womb to the tomb.
You can't miss.
Really, I know that conventional wisdom would say you want to be like at 5 o'clock at a drive time show. Really, as the clock gets later, the audience gets larger.
And more intense.
Well,
right now,
I've been in a lot of that traffic before,
yeah. So right now,
in some of your places.
There's a lot more people who are listening to you whore it right now, and we hope everybody watches Frank TV,
yeah,
tomorrow night on TBS. What do you have to, what is the funniest part of tomorrow night's show? Go ahead and whore it.
Hold on. Did you miss the part about 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central?
No, we got that.
We've got that,
you got
Frank.
That. Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm just making sure on TBS.
What's
yeah.
the funniest part of your show tomorrow night at 11 o'clock on TBS?
I would break it down into three or four really funny parts, guys.
Oh, so that might be the whole show then.
No, it's honestly, this is why I wanted to call you on this one. This is my favorite show. It was originally the fourth show.
You're a liar.
And we liked, no, I'm not lying.
Yes, you are.
I wouldn't lie to you.
It was the fourth.
Yes, you are.
It was the fourth show last week, wasn't it?
No, it was the second show last week.
Oh, second show, okay.
And this is if you look at the episode numbers, it's 104, but it's coming third because we liked it more than 103.
Oh, got it, okay.
It's got a judge show. It's William Shatner as a judge.
Nice.
Because he's played a cop, a lawyer. We thought, why not give him a judge show?
Nice.
And he judges everything based on 1980s T.J. Hooker episodes, which nothing beats a good Adrian Zmed reference.
There you go.
There's a sketch of what would Bush do if he'd been president during other difficult periods in history because of his ability to spin things for positive.
Right.
So it's like one in the Titanic sinking. President Bush comes on. Hello, America. I'm sure by now you've heard about our first attack against the evil Asperg Empire. and so there's stuff like that.
Right.
We do these crazy foreign commercials. One's Al Pacino for this drink called Bocce. And these Japanese businessmen are just hilarious while I'm in the back going, Bocce!
Well, you are whoring, and it does. And
I enjoy him whoring it, though. He's whoring it in a very nice way.
That's kind of, that's the good thing about me. My whoring is entertaining.
Now, will we see more Frank TV in the future, down the road, like maybe next season? I mean, is there any commitment by the folks at TBS to more Frank TV?
Not right now, because we started at 8 and got cut down to 5 because of the writer's strike.
Oh, that's right. How you got screwed by the writer's strike.
Hey, Frank, if you could handle a real compliment, on your first episode when you had the Seinfeld people for 20 years from now, I know you wear the makeup and you do everything, but the Michael Richards physical stuff, I mean, your voice was great, but the physical stuff, you were really great doing the double take and the face with Jerry, and you're right about your Jerry. Your Jerry is pretty much just that one,
One note.
What are we doing here?
The funny thing is I had a cold for all those characters, too. So the Jerry Seinfeld is cracking more than normal.
How do you do that when you do a scene where you're playing four separate characters and it's obvious that you've taped each one individually? How do you do that and get your mark and talk to yourself so that everything lines up neatly on TV?
Well, they play the stuff back. So I've recorded it all on voice. To do ahead of time, so I'm matching up to that.
So you play to the voice itself.
Yeah. Well, they pull out. Let's say I'm doing Kramer, and there's three people in the scene. They pull out the Kramer. I do the Kramer stuff live, and then they play the other two parts back. And then what they do is have other people stand in the spot on the screen where the other people would be, and I talk to those people. They're the same height as me. And I just look, it's the eye lines that are
What
important.
Is the toughest makeup as far as time-consuming, getting into it? Which is the most difficult makeup situation that you have to deal with?
I've got them all to be pretty close to the same. I mean, okay. the Madden is an hour and a half. We did a James Lipton thing, Al Pacino. They're all an hour and a half.
James Lipton, I love.
Charles Barkley took about 2 to 2.5 hours. See, that is crazy. You're laughing there? That's crazy, crazy, crazy.
Crazy.
Terrible. T-R-B-L-E. Terrible. I was looking at my stereo, Don. It said bass and terrible. And you are terrible.
Terrible.
That's when I got everybody. We did a sketch that comes down the line in a couple of weeks that's Barkley's My Five, his talk show. And he's like, Tiger Woods. You are out of my five. Just keep kicking everybody out of the five.
Too great. Frank, you're a giant whore, but you're so talented. Swear to God. Everybody, please watch Frank TV tomorrow night at 11 o'clock on TBS. And there's your plug. You whore, we love you.
Well, I'll be whoring it up soon because I think I'm coming to D.C. soon, too.
Oh, yay.
Thanks, Frank.
I'll call you. Thanks, guys.
Okay, bye-bye.
Frank Caliendo.
What a whore.
Guinness Book of World
but
Records.
He's our whore.
Whore.
Seriously. I mean, I love him. But he calls Rob. Rob's the go-between.
Right. And you guys, incidentally, they got me on that one, Buzz.
Yeah, me too.
They got me hook, line, and sinker. I was getting ready to talk to a woman who had slept with a lot of men.
No, and the last time we had him on, he was very specific with Rob. He wanted to be on at 5:15 because he thought that is
absolute prime time in the middle of our show.
And today we had him scheduled for about 5:30. He had to wait a little bit, so hence his comment about you schedule me at 4.
Well, that's a shame that he kind of gets screwed on that writer's strike, and but I hope we see more of Frank TV.
The whole time we were emailing back and forth for this appearance on the program, the subject line was $5 anything you want.
Anything you want.
He says, call me a whore, I don't care.
He's a great whore.
The best.
Speaking of great whores.
Hi.
Welcome back to the show.
It's time for the news.
And even
hi, everybody.
Greater
this
whore.
Is the news.
And I'm not saying that Buzz is a whore.
Oh, you can.
Buzz has known some of the finest whores throughout history.
Yes. I mean, going all the way back to biblical times.
That's true.
Trained a couple.
What's the very first whore you had, Buzz? What do you remember most about the experience?
The only thing I remember about the woman is she was very, very cold.
Very cold.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
It's time. Let me just ask you up front. There's no new, bad, breaking, awful stuff today, correct?
I can tell you that honestly. No,
all
there
right,
isn't.
Good. Well, then we'll get Buzz's take on the news.
You never know what can happen during a commercial
break,
though.
That's true.
Buzz's slant on the news.
I'm not saying anything.
I know you know. When we come right back. Thank you, Frank Kelly.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
W-J-F-K.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Welcome back to What's the Buzz. You may know her as Academy Award-winning actress, but today she's here to talk about a new project on the small screen. Uh-huh. We're talking about the talented Holly Hunter in her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
The Don and Mike Show.
Buzz. It's all about the buzz.
You, me, bar, beers, buzz.
All right, folks, that's all the buzz we have for you today.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Bottom Buddies, Don and Mike.
All right, stand by for Guy Burnley with the news. Maybe you just got in your car and you've not heard. If you're a mom.
Oh, MILF time.
If you're a MILF, we have Hannah Montana tickets.
We've had women calling all day, desperate women.
The show here in D.C. at the Verizon Center on January 7th. We have a pair of tickets and $1,000, and we're playing MILF Strip Trivia. Ladies, you got to be hot as balls. You got to want to win these tickets for your daughter.
We have a Tina Fey, and we have a Posh Spice.
And we are being picky, picky, picky.
We want to get 10 MILFs down here for Thursday's show.
Right.
So you can win the ticket that nobody can get.
This is not your standard cattle call. When we do strip trivia and women call and we say, you know, a woman says, hi, I look like Kathy Najimy, and we go,
are you breathing?
Yeah, come on down.
Right.
No, this is for Hannah Montana tickets.
Right.
$1,000. You got to be a MILF. Do it for your daughter.
We're going to take three or four more tomorrow and then maybe a couple more after that.
Mm-hmm. We got like 10 MILFs down here on Thursday for strip trivia. Information, DonandMikeWebsite.com. Right. If you send us a compelling email, we may call you so you don't have to waste time calling us with busy signals tomorrow. And we'll take more of your calls tomorrow as well.
Very cool. Good.
Okay. So that is tomorrow. We won't disappoint you in the way. I was talking to one of my neighbors who said to me, you know, when you mentioned everybody asks about Hannah Montana.
Right.
Driving up the street yesterday, going to the game. Real early, one of the neighbors out putting up his decorations.
Right.
We slow down the car, leans in, first thing, hey, do you know anywhere I can find Hannah Montana tickets?
I've had five people ask me about it.
So I said to him, you know, you would never know it by listening to WJFK, but we have one pair.
Right.
One pair of tickets to give away.
Well, you should do what I do. If anybody asks you for the tickets, I say to everybody, yeah, no problem, they'll be at will call. I just don't want to deal with it right now.
That's right.
They'll be at will call.
And the guy told me about something. Now, I'm not sure the details. The top 40 station here at 99.5, they had some kind of Christmas ball party or something over the weekend.
Right.
And his kid won some stupid contest to be in the audience. And the big deal was it was a concert with the Backstreet Boys. Right. Except this guy told me that they came out and they didn't care. They pretty much just sang the chorus of two songs that these girls knew.
They totally phoned it in?
And then they left.
Wow.
And then they left.
Ah, the disappointment of the holiday season.
We will not disappoint.
No, no. You will love your Hannah Montana tickets, and you will love to play strip trivia.
This guy was asking me, like, you know, what recourse do I have against this?
I'm like, for a bad show?
Like, yeah. What recourse are you looking for? He said, well, they promoted it as a concert with the Backstreet Boys, and they only stood up for 2 seconds.
Everybody should realize that there aren't many live performers that really deliver the goods. There just aren't that many Wayne Newtons around anymore.
It's like, well, what kind of a show do you think you're getting in it with the Backstreet Men? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not boys anymore, right?
No, and they weren't they the guys that were managed by that guy that's in the lockup now, that Pearlman guy?
Yeah, the kid toucher.
The fat guy kid toucher that they found in Thailand?
Absolutely.
They're disappointed themselves.
More Hannah Montana strip trivia MILF stuff tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hot as balls. We're finally going to have a studio full of beautiful MILFs.
Who are really going to be enjoying the spirit of the competition. Mm-hmm. Because we got the calls today. These women are desperate for these tickets, and you're throwing in $1,000.
Yeah, and for the first time ever, we had to busy up the phones because we had too many chicks calling all at once.
I am looking forward to Thursday's show.
Get them in right away. We won't be like the Backstreet Boys.
Right. No.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. Just to update and acknowledge a couple of stories, thousands of people attended the funeral for Sean Taylor today in Florida, and four suspects, who range in the ages of 17 to 20, are being held without bond in connection with his murder. Another update. Lawyers for the guy accused of taking hostages at Clinton campaign headquarters in New Hampshire says he was a desperate guy who can't get treatment for his mental health problems. The judge in Leland Eisenberg's case set bail at $500,000 after prosecutors pointed out his previous restraining orders and outstanding warrants.
And I heard he was drunk, too. He was drunk when he showed up.
Oh, the Hill guy?
Yeah. He walked in there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so I guess he'd been drinking most of the morning.
Apparently so. And he has a history of mental problems.
He used flares.
Oh, the fake bomb was flares?
Yeah, it was flares.
Wow.
Flares and duct tape.
Yeah, flares and duct tape.
And he did have some kind of remote control trigger device.
Yeah, he made it look good, but as soon as they smelled the booze, what are you going to do?
Not a happy drunk.
Not a happy drunk at all. No, not like you and me, Rob.
That's right, man.
AT&T is getting out of the payphone business by the end of next year. Customers have abandoned payphones, of course, in favor of cell phones.
I hate that.
And according to new research, chimpanzees have better memory skills than humans.
Oh, speaking of that, just reminded me. It's funny.
That's right.
What did that remind you of?
The point that the guy was telling me was that all of these teenage girls revolted and started throwing stuff at the DJs on stage.
Really?
So if there's anyone out there that knows anything that went on at this hot 99.5 party, it'd be a funny thing to talk about.
Backstreet Boys, probably just in bad moods. If you were a Backstreet Boy, wouldn't you walk around being in a bad mood all the time?
Of course I would.
What if you were 50 and they called you a boy?
The Backstreet Men.
I just realized I have the same mental capacity as a monkey.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Because I just remembered that when you said that.
A minky.
Not quite, Don. The BBC says young chimps performed better than adult humans during tests in which they remembered numbers and put them in the correct order on a screen.
Well, now I feel even dumber, Buzz.
We all do. Some gay men from across the country have come forward to say they've had encounters with Idaho Senator Larry Craig.
Hi, Larry.
These are their stories.
Any gay monkeys?
The Republican who still insists he's not gay is now facing accusations that date back as far as 1981, when Craig was 36, single, and a freshman in Congress.
Hey, what kind of car does he drive around?
What kind?
An escort.
I can't believe it. These guys are fags. These kids are fags. I can't believe it. Right. Dumb. God damn it, they're fags.
That's Rickles doing Clark Gable.
Greg Ruth was 24 when Larry...
Don't get him wrong. He's a nice guy. Yeah. Don Rickles.
That's right. Mr. Warm.
Yeah.
I'm a nice guy, so put your mind to
this, Phoebe.
A polite.
It's just
guy.
From the recent
Baby,
performance.
How about HBO me? Love little kids, had a stray cat, a dog. But this group tonight is from the city catalog. I'm a swell guy. The band thinks I'm groovy.
This is from that documentary on Rickles last night
on HBO.
Funniest thing was Martin Scorsese talking about being out in the audience, you know, because Scorsese cast him in Casino.
Right.
So the funniest thing he ever saw Don Rickles do was walk over to a little kid, and he said, "What's your name? What's your name, son?" And the kid gave his name, and Rickles slapped him and said, "Don't lie to me." I'm sorry. That's what I love about that man.
And think about how lame he is when we had him on this show.
Yeah. I was so crushed. Nothing I was like so that. Disappointed by that because, you know, even if he was going to talk with a little energy about his life or anything like that, but it was like, yeah, thank you, fellas. Yeah, yeah,
you were so disappointed because he
was crushed.
He was so low energy and so pleasant.
I know. And he was so, and I wanted him to beat us up, but I guess he gets asked to do that all the time.
They left out really his funniest piece of work, which was when he was attacked with the telephone in Casino.
That was funny.
Who doesn't laugh when they see that?
Love that.
That's Joe Pesci, right?
I think that is.
Beats him up with the telephone.
Yeah, hits him and knocks him down to the floor.
So it was 1981. Greg Ruth was 24 years old when he says Larry Craig gave him his phone number. In fact, the first rumors of Craig's gayness came in 1982. Immediately followed by Craig's denial and his marriage to Suzanne.
You said gayness, right?
Gayness, yes.
Gayness. Okay, you didn't say something else.
No.
All right.
No.
Rhymes with anus.
Rhymes with, but no.
Great planet.
In 1983, there was that moment at the ski resort with a Tom Russell who says it never went beyond talk at the time. But in 86, Larry Craig was reportedly at a gay club here in Washington flirting again with David Phillips. This time, Phillips says it went all the way and that Craig gave him $20 and a warning to keep quiet with the words, I can buy and sell your ass 1,000 times. In 2005,
Else turned on?
Hey, I'm getting hot right now.
In 2005, the male prostitute who says he did the Reverend Ted Haggard says Larry Craig also answered his ad, paying $200 to perform that special favor.
Craig paid to perform on him?
That is correct. You have interpreted it precisely.
Okay.
Craig's travel records corroborate that story. They also support the claims of another gay man who says he was approached by Craig in a Denver airport men's room in 2006.
What is it about this guy and men's rooms?
Convenience.
Why men's rooms?
You got an extra hour before the flight.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
The research and the claims of these gay men are the work of the Idaho Statesman newspaper. Larry Craig, meanwhile, continues...
Oh, I subscribe to that paper.
It doesn't everyone?
I love the funnies.
Larry Craig continues his work as an anti-gay rights lawmaker. He also continues to deny that he's gay and that any of this happened.
I deny that I'm gay.
And he continues to appeal his conviction for soliciting a cop.
Well, I'm calling about your ad in the newspaper.
And perhaps the best part, he's still planning to run for re-election.
You know, my daughter and her family live in Minneapolis, and she told me that over Thanksgiving when they were at the airport, that it's amazing now that it is almost a shrine that people go to that bathroom and want to have their pictures taken, not only in front of it, but in the stall.
People are idiots.
They are.
I love them, but they're idiots.
Second stall from the left.
You know one of those idiots? That would be my son-in-law.
You'll see the pee picture. This is the place where he wanted to have sex.
They're going to email me a picture of my son-in-law sitting on the very toilet where Larry Craig sat.
Well, he didn't sit. It's the guy that he was soliciting sat there, right? Because Larry Craig was standing up at the urinal next to the stall.
You are correct. Yeah, you're right. The one where the guy was sitting where Larry Craig played footsie with him.
I've never been gay.
Nothing better than bringing a camera into a men's room. Everyone loves that.
The British teacher who was imprisoned in Sudan for letting her kids name a teddy bear Muhammad is free again. Gillian Gibbons has been pardoned after being arrested for showing extreme disrespect for the Muslim icon Muhammad. Although Gillian should have known better as a teacher working in a strange land, she didn't. And for a while, she was facing a fine, 6 months in prison, and 40 lashes. 10,000 nuts with swords took to the streets demanding she be executed. The rest of the world, including her 7-year-old students, protested loudly. So the sentence has been reduced to 15 days in jail. This morning, Gillian Gibbons was freed by the Sudanese government, which she says treated her very, very well.
She's hot. You see her on TV?
Yeah.
She's super hot. I wish she was my teacher.
You're blind.
And now she's free. After being criticized for not stepping up like David Letterman and Conan O'Brien, Jay Leno has finally agreed to pay his non-writing employees' salaries for at least this week.
Now, what I want to do is, I got a lot of people that were telling me that it was a bad thing, and I decided that for 1 week, I will pay my employees' salaries. It's no big deal, you know, since what they want. You know? What is it to me? It's another car. It's another car. I'm really, really disappointed I have to come up with this money out of this pocket. Isn't that right, Kev? Thank you, Kevin. Kevin Eubanks, it's time to orchestra. Thanks a lot, Kev.
NBC stopped paying those non-writing employees on Friday, laying them
off.
Oh, that's not funny.
For the duration of the writer's strike, some of those employees may have to find new jobs if the strike doesn't end soon. A source close to Leno says he was stung by the criticism from some of his own people, especially since he'd paid out $500,000 in Christmas bonuses.
We could use the help.
$100 for every year you've been with the show.
Say to those unemployed writers, we always could use the help.
I'll give him a job. I'll give him a reference. I'll give him a reference.
How about if they gave your wife a bikini wax?
You mean Mavis? You want to make a joke about a mustache? That's all right. I said a couple of them can come over to the house and mow the lawn and do that. I'll pay you for 1 week. 1 week and 1 week only. Then you are on your own.
Your wife looks like Wilford Brimley.
Thanks a lot. That's a mustache joke.
That is.
F you.
You don't like that?
I don't like that at all. That's why I dig my heels in.
It was good that you brought a dozen donuts to the writer's strike.
She's hairy everywhere.
All everywhere?
Yes, down there. Oh, my God. It's amazing. It's like the jungle.
How about the back?
Doesn't the hair really go from hole to hole?
It does. As a matter of fact, there's a fine line of baby soft hair that goes from chin to navel to... And around back.
Four stops, right?
Four stops, yes. Every hole.
Mouth, belly button.
Yes.
When
we first started dating, I noticed one thing about Mavis. Hair came from every opening she had.
Like the goddamn dike opening?
Like the goddamn dike.
Jay's people wanted to know why he wasn't generous like Dave or Conan. They were worried that 2 weeks had gone by since NBC announced the layoffs, and Jay hadn't said anything.
Jay is stupid.
Leno's spokesman says what he was doing was playing it optimistically.
No, it's not stupid. And what it is I don't really care. It's all right. They didn't find a job.
You're stupid. You don't know how to play the PR game. You don't know how to play it like Letterman and Jon Stewart and Conan O'Brien.
No, you got it wrong. What I'm trying to do is I'm just trying to be careful. I just want to be extremely careful with what I do with my employees. And, if they lose their jobs.
Leno's spokesman says he was playing it optimistically, hoping the strike would end, making all of this unnecessary.
I will support Kevin Eubanks in whatever he does. Hope he hits the road again.
And NBC's about to do something no network's ever done. I'll tell you about it when we continue.
All right, Buzz.
All right, yeah, Buzz.
Thanks, Jay.
All right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Broadcasting from In of Doors, the Don and Mike Show.
Right. Once again, here is Guy Birdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. Hi, NBC's there. About to do something no network's ever done. Farming out entire blocks of primetime programming to an outside producer. Sight unseen, apparently. The deal paves the way for most or all of a given night to be turned over to a single producer. The network buys blocks of shows from the producer at a fraction of what NBC would normally spend.
Now, I would think it would depend who it is. Like if you have a guy like Jerry Bruckheimer,
right?
You know the type of shows you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
If you get Dick
that's
Wolf.
That's quality.
You get Dick Wolf, the Law and Order guy.
Uh-huh.
You know what you're getting. You get Greg Garcia.
Right.
You kind of know what you're getting.
Right.
David Kelly.
I don't want to forget about
David
Yesteer.
David E. Kelly, absolutely.
That Yesteer is also on Greg's resume, as
mm-hmm.
well as
that's
My
right.
Name is Earl.
Mm-hmm. Right. NBC just bought 30 hours of programs from a guy named Tom Beers. He makes adventure documentaries. He did Deadliest Catch and Ice Road Truckers, if that means anything to you.
I've seen both of those.
I thought maybe you
I like Deadliest Catch. I think Ice Road Truckers sucked.
Ah, well,
Mike, what are each of those shows?
They're
no
reality
idea.
Shows. Deadliest Catch, I have the box set of Deadliest Catch. It's about the guys off the coast of Alaska that die all the time going over the side of the boat, and they take cameras out during the typhoons and stuff. They don't have typhoons up there. But they they catch King Crab, and they take it's a reality show. It's like, it's like the Dirtiest Jobs kind of reality
show. Okay, gotcha.
Show.
For now, this Thomas Beers will get spots on NBC's scheduled for 3 10-hour reality adventure shows. What could it hurt? Look at the TV grid, and you'll see the networks have already given up on Saturday nights and appear to be ready to do the same with Fridays. A producer in L.A., meanwhile, is hawking a new reality series called Who Wants to Marry a U.S. Citizen? As you may have gathered from the title, the show finds love connections for immigrants with temporary visas and then pays for the wedding if it all works out.
You know, there are so many of these reality shows, and we are so soured on them now that even when the idea sounds good.
You know it's going to suck.
Like, are you smarter than a fifth grader? Great idea. Maybe good for the first 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Catch any of the ads yesterday for the Fox lie detector show?
No,
not yet.
Again, looks like it could be tremendous. I'm sure it will suck. They have people sitting in a chair, and they, like, for instance, one of the great ways they tease you, someone's sitting in a chair hooked up to a lie detector. Big fat cow walks in front of him and says, "Do you find fat people repulsive?"
See, that's right. I like the idea.
Now, it all depends how many questions, how personal the questions are, and if it's one of those shows where you have to have build up to build up to build up to build up to finally answering real lie detector questions.
If they can make it get a little bit of that heat that they got from Meet the Parents, where Greg Falker sits down with Robert De Niro, then they might have something.
This bulletin just in. Buzz brought to you tonight by Mervis Diamond Importers and eDiamonds.com. Find a little brilliance with a pair of diamond stud earrings from eDiamond.com. That's www.e-diamonds.com or call 1-800-HER-LOVE.
No networks have snatched up this Who Wants to Marry a Citizen show, but in the writer's strike, at least one cable network is pursuing it. And finally,
wouldn't it be great if you had the lie detector show, though, and it was like you strapped a guy in and you said, "Do you ever fantasize about another woman while you're making love to your wife?"
Or even better, do you ever fantasize about another man? What motivates you?
Finally, a couple of different blue lights.
Have you ever had anal?
Have you ever picked your nose and eaten it? You can start soft.
Oh my God.
You can start really, really soft.
I think they will.
Have you ever just turned your underpants inside out and worn them for 3 days?
Have you ever messed your pants?
Another good question.
Be wonderful.
In Milwaukee last weekend, a melee broke out when a rumor spread that a computer glitch had caused the Kmart store to offer instant credit and lots of it to anyone who applied. Anyone.
I hear that.
A crowd of shoppers were there clamoring for cards with credit
limits. You don't have education and you can't hardly get a job.
Credit limits of up to $4,000.
Come on now, move faster, get her done.
When the store ran out of applications, you could find enterprising Americans in the parking lot selling the applications. Kmart credit applications being sold in the parking lot for $10 a piece.
It worked for my mortgage. It's going to work for my Christmas presents.
A couple of women got into a fight, and a man named Quincy Eccles reportedly threw a security guard into a glass jewelry case, just like in the movies.
Eccles?
Eccles was in court Friday on battery charges. The store says it has since corrected that computer glitch. And a guy in Tacoma, Washington, had special blue lights behind the grill of his Mustang. He also had a speaker behind that grill that played all kinds of loud sounds, including one that sounds very much like a police siren. The 25-year-old Mustang owner is now in jail on charges of impersonating a police officer. Witnesses say he appeared to be using his blue lights and siren to get through traffic faster.
Thought it was a girl.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Mustang Sally. Sorry, we're out of time. Oh, that's it. We gotta fly.
Not at all, old fellow, not at all. It's Christmas, you know. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Ah, yes. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Right. Well, it is December. We'll see you tomorrow. Hit our website for the MILF Hannah Montana thing.
Yeah.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Thank you, Frank Caliendo. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Ed.
Hair from hole to hole.
Hole to hole. Every opening she had.
Goodbye. Hey, Vince.
Yeah, what do you want? Sinner. It's a sin to talk to whores.
This is the Don and Mike Show.